Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Tando Radio Show right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. Today is April the 6th, 2018, as we broadcast to you on this Friday evening. I hope that my voice finds you safe and sound behind these enemy lines. My name is Scotty, and I'm sitting in for Brother Dave today, who will be back on air and resume Tando Radio Show on Monday. Today, I wanted to take the time to just go over some things concerning Dr. King. As you all might have heard, it is the 50th. We just recently passed the 50th commemoration of his assassination. I also came across some other articles today where the government definitely, the U.S. government definitely was involved in his assassination. But I won't be talking about that today. But before I get into what's in the news and my topic for today, first, let me just say, please support the nonprofit media organization, Black Talk Media Project. You can make a donation by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Just look for any of the things that you see, the promos that show you how to donate. You can make a one-time donation. You can sign up for a monthly subscription. You could do it with a credit card or a debit card. It doesn't matter. You don't have, although we do use PayPal, you don't have to have a PayPal account. You don't have to set up one to set up those donations to the Black Talk Media Project. Another way that you can support the Black Talk Media Project is by joining BTRCommunity.com, which is a social media platform that was set up for our listeners and our friends and family members. And you could join for just $24 a year. That breaks down to $2 a month. You know, yesterday we shared an article about Facebook and, you know, its data problems, not being able to secure people's data. And I'm not going to phrase it as not being able to secure people's data. They could secure it if they wanted to. All right. And so they give people access to that data. And we talked in that article about, you know, the CEO of Apple. I think his name is Tim Cook, if I remember correctly, was talking about, you know, people will pay for privacy. And when you go to these so-called free platforms, they're not really free. And I'm talking about social media platforms. They have a advertiser revenue business model, and therefore they have to show that data to their potential advertisers in order to, you know, justify what charging people to advertise on their platform. So we don't have any of that type of stuff going on at btrcommunity.com. The only ads or promotions you will see will be posted by members themselves. They can post whatever business they want to promote. If they had their own businesses, we encourage them to promote those as well. So check us out at btrcommunity.com. Again, just $24 a year. It is 30 days free to try it out. If at the end of those 30 days you don't want to remain a part of our social media platform, you can simply cancel your subscription. Also, for those that are interested in acquiring precious metals, you know, Dave works with ProsperityMint.com. He often tells the listeners that when you go there, before you make a purchase, to get in touch with him, because there are some other things that you need to know about. So you can contact him via email by going to wolfsixpack1, that's wolfsixpack1 at yahoo.com. All right, so let me go ahead and lay out today's program. I'm not sure if we'll actually get into the subject matter during the second hour or after, you know, we have gone through what's in the news by some of the news articles of the day, the news and current events. If, you know, we may be able to have enough time to jump into it during the first hour. But today I want to talk about the burning house of black morality. And that title is based on comments that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. made to another civil rights activist during that time, and he's still active today, Harry Belafonte, when he said that, "I fear we have integrated our people into a burning house." Now, he's often misquoted as to what he was actually talking about. That one line belongs to an entire paragraph that I've actually never heard anybody quote the entire paragraph. They just pull that one line out to, I guess, bolster whatever viewpoint they may have. And, you know, it's just a shame, man. It's just a shame that we don't do further study of these people that we talk about. And it is not just the white establishment, the racist system, white liberals who misuse and abuse Dr. King's legacy to put him out there as representing something that he did not represent, to support policies he did not support. But it's also people who look just like Dr. King who do the same thing for various reasons. So I want to talk about the burning house. This is what I wrote. Some of what I wrote. I said that today I will discuss what Dr. King meant when he said, "I fear we have integrated into a burning house." Since we did not have time to get to it yesterday, I'm going to provide you with examples from black people. And these are showcased black people, showcased by the mainstream media, showcased by these different organizations. And there are examples of what that burning house represents, where he was also literally talking about burning houses and violent rebellions. I actually shared an article from The Final Call, which was written by a young lady, and she correctly identified, or how should I say this? She correctly pointed to the burning cars and businesses in Ferguson. I don't think she mentioned Baltimore. I don't know if Baltimore had happened, that rebellion that occurred after the murder of Freddie Gray in Baltimore, Maryland. But, you know, there was some business. I think I read about one business being set on fire. They destroyed police cars. We actually had our youth out there in the street throwing rocks at police. And it just reminded me of the Palestinians' fight against racist Zionism and how they are basically defenseless, and the only thing they have is weapons is rocks. And they throw rocks and Molotov cocktails. And I know right now they're having a protest, and they were fired upon by the IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Forces. And these are unarmed protesters, and now they're burning tires to give cover to the protesters so that Israeli snipers can't pick them off and what have you. So she correctly identified that as the burning house that Dr. King was talking about when you take his entire comment in context. But he also was talking about the burning house of immorality, of black people becoming Americans. And when I say black people becoming Americans, I mean becoming, supporters of the state. Supporters of the state, meaning that they become these red, white, and blue flag waving, useful idiots. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, that's just a term. But become these flag wavers who get behind all of the incorrect, unjust, warmongering policies of the U.S. government, because you have black faces in high places who have been integrated into the U.S. government. And instead of being the voices of reason or the voices of opposition, what they have become part of is the oppressors. And, you know, I've talked about John Lewis. You know, they love to trot out John Lewis. John Lewis has betrayed the legacy of that era of standing up against injustice. And he has become a part of a system that perpetuates injustice. He is part of that burning house of immorality. And so I will share several examples of that when we get to that portion of the show. But let me just give you some food to chew on, give you some thoughts to contemplate, so that when we do discuss it, you will have some context of how I'm framing the discussion. And then you will also be able to either add to the discussion or ask questions, you know, because we definitely welcome dialogue on this program. And by the way, you can get in on that dialogue by giving us a call at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. Hit the star key twice. That will notify me on the board that you would like to add to the conversation or ask a question, and I will come to you as soon as possible. Just always watch your background noise, please, as we try to preserve the quality of the broadcast. So let me just read this that I wrote earlier today. I said, today on Tando Radio Show, filling in for Dave, I will be discussing the true context in which Dr. King said we are integrating into a burning house. Dr. King was talking about literal burning houses and violent rebellions against injustice we have seen in the years since his assassination. He was also speaking on the burning house of black morality, which is lacking in the collective consciousness of black America, who failed to speak out against the immorality of the policies of the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton, and who hypocritically point out the racism of Trump while ignoring the history of the racism of both Clintons, Bill and Hillary, and the failure of the Obama administration to substantially address racism and white supremacy, telling black protesters like those in Ferguson that, hey, things take time. Change doesn't come overnight. We are a nation of law and order. The jury has spoken. But then at the same time, he recently told these gun control advocates out here saying that, hey, we can change things now. The immorality of judging Barack Obama on the basis of his skin color and not the apparent immoral content of his character. And, you know, that comes from Dr. King speaking on, we shouldn't judge people by the color of their skin. We should judge them by the content of their character. Well, how do you find out the content of someone's character? Well, you will know their character by the deeds that they do. Okay? Like scripture tells us, it says, by their fruits you will know them. A rotten tree cannot produce good fruit. Okay? So that's what I mean, the immorality of judging Barack Obama on the basis of his skin color and not the apparent immoral content of his character. The policies that Dr. King advocated for were opposed by both Obama and Clinton. Things like reparations, both being against free tuition at public colleges and universities, which would benefit the poor the most, you know, considering that Dr. King's last campaign was a campaign against poverty. And we often hear, although it is more complex than what it may seem, but we hear that if people want to rise above a poverty, they need a college education. They need to be educated so they can get good paying jobs. Well, that fallacy has been exposed because we got people with college degrees that's working in Walmart checkout lines, okay, because of a lack of jobs. But again, it's still, education is still good to have. That piece of paper, although I don't put a lot of stock in pieces of paper, I think what will help people the most is to become educated in a skill set, all right? Whether we're talking about industrial skills, carpentry, auto mechanics, electricians, brick masonry, you know, of course we need doctors, we need lawyers, we need teachers and things of that nature, all right? So, you know, these are the things that Obama and Clinton were against. He actually, during the Obama administration, they changed the Pell Grant rules, which harm poor black people seeking to go to college the most. Also, they spread violence through their foreign policy, which resulted in a continuation of Bush-era policies and regime change. We saw that in Libya. We saw that in Honduras. Also, the tactic of using terrorists to attack both Libya and Syria, as they have been doing for quite some time now. The use of drones, you know, Obama expanded the use of CIA drones, covering up the CIA torture program. Right now, you have a woman who has been appointed to lead the CIA who was running a torture site in Thailand, and Donald Trump has nominated her. Well, guess what? Obama helped cover that up by prosecuting whistleblowers, CIA whistleblowers, who said, you know what? This is inhumane. We should not be torturing people. Some of these people are being killed. We're waterboarding people. The public needs to know about this. We need some transparency. So you had these whistleblowers. Well, guess what happened? Those whistleblowers went to prison. They were prosecuted by Loretta Lynch, another black celebrity figurehead. They were prosecuted by her and the actual torturers like Gina Haspel. Well, she's looking at a promotion right now, okay? That's the burning house of immorality, or the burning house of morality that Dr. King was speaking about, all right? What else? Also, you know, arming the police with military-grade weapons. We saw that more pronounced than ever during the Ferguson Rebellion. Everybody was acting like they were shocked. Look at them, man. They got these armored personnel vehicles. They're on top of these vehicles. They got snipers everywhere with these military assault weapons and pointing them at unarmed protesters. Well, guess who funded? Guess who signed legislation? Guess who continued the program of giving surplus military, so-called surplus military grade equipment to these slave catchers? The Obama administration. It didn't start under him, but he did not dismantle it. And people like John Lewis, because some of these programs have to be renewed, they voted for it. But then at the same time want to act like they on the side of injustice and nonviolent protests when you are arming the very people who are the cause of most of the violence in this country. Police slave catchers. Okay? What else happened during the Obama administration that Dr. King was opposed to, would have been opposed to if he hadn't been assassinated? What about supplying the Israelis? Remember when you had a Gaza uprising, and Gaza has been described in Palestine, has been described as the world's largest open air prison, okay, under occupation. And remember when the Israelis went on an offensive against those mostly unarmed protesters, those Palestinians? Remember, there was emergency legislation that was put into effect. Obama signed it to resupply the Israelis with bullets and bombs and missiles so they can continue to slaughter those people. We were getting photographs of dead children on the beaches of Gaza. Where were all of these people that speaking out against violence now? That you know, and then to top it off, you got these people who are goading Trump into continuing an unjust war. It's not really a war, but an unjust invasion of Syria. These very same people, like John Lewis and all these other people, all right, that want to celebrate Dr. King but are far removed from what he stood for. All right, so they supplied the Israelis. Then you had the Clinton so-called welfare reform, which moved $1 billion from social programs to private prisons, to locking people up, to kicking people out of public housing if just one member of their family was arrested, not convicted, but arrested on a drug charge. Kicking these people out on the street. Did y'all forget about that while y'all was out there pushing Hillary Clinton for president? All right, but then you hypocritically point at Republicans and Donald Trump for doing the same thing when you had Obama agreeing with Republicans to end, I think it was some kind of sequester going on. It was some impasse that he had with a Republican-controlled Congress. And in order to move past that impasse, he agreed to further cuts to the social safety net, to the SNAP program. All right? This is not anything I'm making up. This is documented in news reports. And, you know, even on our network, because we were talking about these issues at the time. All right. So agreeing to cut social programs along with Republicans. All right. So that's why I say the Black House of Moral Consciousness is indeed in flames. Dr. King's prediction was right. The majority of us, not all of us, but the majority of us are no better than the system that we want to criticize, or the people that we want to criticize. We want to hold ourselves up to being some kind of moral compass of America. Those days are long behind us. And Dr. King saw that. He saw that. He saw us aligning with a crooked government, a government that he called the greatest purveyor of violence on the face of the planet. So that is what I want to talk about today. And I will also share his exact quote. All right. Well, matter of fact, Let me see if I got the exact quote. I thought I posted the exact quote. I may have changed it, but it's posted in the article integrating into a burning house. So I'll read that. And then once I read that, we'll get into what's in the news before we start, hopefully, a dialogue. But I can do monologue, too. All right. So, but, you know, if you want to call in and add to the commentary, if you want to ask me questions, then please do so. I welcome them. This is Dr. King's exact quote. He was talking to Harry. It was his last conversation with Harry Belafonte. This is what Dr. King said. He said, "I've come upon something that disturbs me deeply. We have fought hard and long for integration, as I believe we should have, and I know we will win. But I have come to believe that we are integrating into a burning house. I'm afraid that America has lost the moral vision she may have had. And I'm afraid that even as we integrate, we are walking into a place that does not understand that this nation needs to be deeply concerned with the plight of the poor and disenfranchised. Until we commit ourselves to ensuring that the underclass is giving justice and opportunity, we will continue to perpetrate the anger and violence that tears the soul of this nation. I fear I am integrating my people into burning houses." And, you know, this quote from him, again, the only thing I've heard people who I would say are what, black separatists, they only quote, "I believe that we are integrating into a burning house." That is not what Dr. King was saying. He was not pro-segregationist. He was not a black separatist. Okay. He was about giving black Americans the full rights and the privileges that are supposed to be bestowed upon an American citizen. You're paying taxes. If you're paying taxes, you should have representation, right? You should have some say in the system that not only are you paying into and maintaining with your tax dollars, but how many black veterans fought in America's wars. And so we supposed to accept being treated as second-class citizens? No. The only people who would be for that are the ones who are profiting from segregation, all right? Who were profiting from segregation and who were cowards, who did not want any trouble from Dr. King stirring up the pot or going against the status quo, which was racist segregation, racist mistreatment. So that's his quote. Now, before I get into that, let's go into some of what's in the news. Before I get into what's in the news, I think Brother Ross wants to chime in. Greetings this evening to you, Brother Ross. Did you have something you wanted to add before we get into what's in the news?
Yeah, briefly. Peace and love. How are you?
I'm doing the best I can, sir.
Me too. I just got home from the plantation, so I know exactly what you mean. Great show so far. I love what you're talking about, because we've talked about that before as far as just picking and choosing things to discuss. And not necessarily having context. So I think it's a great discussion in regards to that particular phrase that has been touted by many people. Even I've discussed it, but when I discussed it, I discussed it in the context of his awakening to becoming more, in other words, when he connected with Minister Malcolm, mm-hmm. and his widened understanding of a better way of attacking the system than the original way that he thought was the best way. Mm-hmm. And that's the context that I've discussed that particular phrase, but I love that you're speaking about the entire discussion. And I think that's relevant. And what I wanted to talk about was when you were talking about the different forms of military tyranny that that some of us actually support when we become assimilated into the system. that I posted an article like maybe a week ago, maybe a little longer, I don't know if you saw it, about one of the military installations. I can't remember if it's Abu Ghraib or Guantanamo, where the U.S. military, they have actual pictures of military soldiers raping.
That was Abu Ghraib. I forget. I may be pronouncing it incorrectly.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
I said I may be pronouncing it incorrectly, but the name of that prison was Abu Ghraib.
Yeah, they say they pronounce it Abu Ghraib, but I know that's the one. And they were raping these children in front of their own mothers, and they had the pictures, like lots and lots of pictures of soldiers raping these little boys, and they've been hiding them for an extremely long time, and they're now being released and now coming to the surface in a way in which they can no longer hide it. So to me, when you look at that, that is not something that Dr. King supported. But if you look at the military, that is white supremacy, pedophilia, and the brutality of raping children in front of their own mothers. That's what they did to our ancestors. That's exactly what they did, and they're doing that like right now, or not right now, but in modern times, to Iraqi people and so-called terrorists, people that they deem as, you know, insurgents and terrorists. So that again shows that like the military is no less ingratiated, ingrained, and apt to facilitate white culture in the form of even child rape, under the auspices of, oh, we're bringing democracy to these people. They're savages. They're doing things that are horrible. We need to fix them. But yet you're going in and you're raping children in front of their mothers, really?
And let me say this, though, Ross. The way I'm coming at it, I'm going to quote a scripture. You hypocrite, first remove the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. All right. Now, how many black people, and I'm doing self-reflection on us as a people today. I think most of us understand how evil and wicked this system of slavery and white supremacy is. But we have been integrated into that, and many of us support that. Now, they were talking I heard a lot of black misleaders out there talking about, hey, look what the Bush administration doing. They all evil and they killing all these people and they raping kids. But then when Barack Obama became CEO of USA Inc. and he actually expanded those policies, you heard nothing but silence.
I agree. And I've said that from day one, because he also said that he would roll back the Bush era policies of invasive spying on U.S. citizens. And when he got in office, he ratcheted it up.
Exactly.
And I talked about that from day one. So there's a whole ton of things that Barack Obama has done that are completely detrimental and to black people in particular, but completely antithetical to trying to thwart the system of white supremacy on any level. And I just think he was like the biggest fifth columnist agent ever presented to black people in a popular way. Like, he has so many of us fooled. And I mean, when I'm around white folks, I never say anything negative about Barack Obama, because I don't say anything negative about black people in front of white people. But when I'm amongst my own, I'm candid. And that is, you know, I never actually thought he would do anything for black people. When I said from day one, I said, everybody who's thinking he's the savior that's going to come and just flip things upside down and flip the bird to the white man and help black people out, I said, you are wrong. And people looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, this man has no power.
Right.
I'm like, if you really understand, he has no power in the context of the way the system works, but he has personal power in his decisions as to what he chooses to do when in office. And he chose to bomb people ridiculously, indiscriminately, all over the place with drones. He chose to propagate homosexuality, even to the point where he went to Kenya and they had to reject him for him coming there trying to propagate anti-sexual behavior in their country and all over the continent. He was just traveling doing this nonsense. So, I mean, there's a personal responsibility he has, and then there's the overarching understanding that in the context of white supremacy, he also is being told what to do, but you don't have to do what you're told.
Right. You can choose to be a Dr. King and die for your principles. You can choose to be a JFK and not go along with the CIA attempted assassination and overthrow of Cuba and die as a result. All right. Instead of Barack Obama, instead of black people moving Barack Obama to a position of justice, Barack Obama moved the majority of black people to a position of injustice.
Oh, that is a great way of saying it. Man, that is a quote. That is the quote of 2018 right there. Because I agree with you. Because there's, like you said, there's so many people, black people, that just support the machinations of the American government towards global domination and destruction of non-white life. And, you know, it's, you know, sadly, some of our more confused brothers and sisters who join the military and don't know better, and a lot of them are seeking a better life. They're trying to get money for college, but they don't understand
right
how, where, what they're embedding themselves in.
Just, and like I did not.
Absolutely. So you have groups that come out the military feeling like you felt, like, listen, I can't do this. And then you have groups of black folks who come out the military, and like you said, they're assimilated, they're ingratiated, and they're like, wow, I'll do anything that they tell me to do because this is the way things are supposed to be done. So we really have to start thinking for ourselves, and I think some of those people like Dr. King and Minister Malcolm and all the other great folks who actually spoke the truth about the way this country and government operates on a global scale, if we really study them, it'll help. And especially if we tell our young children who are considering going into the military this information, it will help them make better decisions. Like my son, I taught him from day one. I said, you're not going to fight for a country where you can come, you can just walk down the street and, just being black, get gunned down by a cop, and they can walk simply because they make up a narrative about being scared of you, and you're going to go around the world killing other people that look like you, and in some cases are non-white but don't look like you, in the name of this government. I said, don't. And that's the way my father raised me. When he first got here, he told me he wanted to join the military. He actually attempted to, and he had a heel spur. He had problems with his vision, and one of his ears, he had a perforated eardrum and couldn't hear too well, so they medically denied him. But this was before he really got, this is before he met Kwame Ture, who actually shifted his whole consciousness, and that's how our family got on the Black Liberation Movement as it was developing in the mid to late 70s, because he came here in the early 70s. So before he had that encounter with Kwame Ture, he told me, I tried to join the military, I didn't make it. And then afterwards, when I became less confused, he didn't use those exact words, but he was basically saying, when I became less confused and I understood just how racist this country is, I was glad I didn't get in there, and I wanted to make sure you understood I don't want you dealing with that either. So if you're able to cultivate an understanding of history, an understanding of the best of our people who tried to steer us in the right direction, everything that Dr. King said back then is relevant right now,
yes.
No different to Mr. Malcolm. So if we can do that, we can help the young people become less confused and make the decisions based on their better understanding of the way the system works. So with that, I'll just lay in the cut and mute myself. But great program, Scotty. I'm looking forward to the rest. One love.
All right, one love. If we need to go over 2 hours, depending upon participation and interest in the conversation, after I get through what's in the news, then we'll go over those 2 hours. I'll probably take a music break, though, so I can, you know, take a little bathroom break and get some water or whatever. But, yeah, let's go ahead and jump into what's in the news, some of the news stories that was shared today. You can find these news stories posted on btrcommunity.com. I posted them to David W. Tando Radio Show profile, as I'm sitting in for him today as the host of Tando Radio Show. So I'm going to start at the bottom and get through some of these news headlines. Let's see. Let me see. Stock sinks. Ross shared this article from Fox Business News. Stock sink as investors fear escalation of trade tensions between U.S. and China. Dow Industrial down 600 points. I know I seen another article that was related to that where I'm not sure if it was 100 million. I think it was 100 million. I don't think it was a billion. But after China announced tariffs on a number of American products in response to Trump, yeah, I said it right, Trump putting tariffs on China. Now, you know, Trump is, it's like a little children going tit for tat, you know, and the consumer is the one that's going to lose. And when I say the consumer, I ain't talking about Chinese consumers. I'm talking about American consumers who has, I don't know this for a fact, but I would guess that the largest wealth gap between the haves and the have-nots exists here in the United States. It may be different in other parts of the world, that I could be incorrect about that, but I do know that is a problem. And one of the things Dr. King was seeking to address right before he was assassinated with his campaign, his poor people's campaign, you know, working against poverty. Another article. Yulia Skripal isn't asking for Russia's help, the UK says. Now, this is going to the former Russian spy who I would present to you as having no intelligence value whatsoever. This dude had already been in prison for being a traitor to his own country and what have you. And then he spent years in prison in Russia. Then there was a swap of spies, and he was given residence in the UK in that exchange. It had been 10 years he'd been living in. Now, what kind of intelligence value do you think that man had? He didn't have any. So I believe this is a false flag. Okay, this is a false flag. This guy is already a traitor, and his daughter probably won't permanent residence in the UK because she's a Russian citizen. And she would just visit him here. So she's like, oh, this way I can get permanent residence. Let me go along with this false flag. So that's what I think. I actually posted an excellent video that was produced by Afro Synergy. You can find it on Black Talk Radio. I think it's titled The UK False Flag Against Russia. All right. Next article. The New Yorker, Ross posted this one. Stephen Clark in the shooting of black men, armed and unarmed. Last Friday, the Baton Rouge Police Department released videos, including two police body cam videos of the shooting death in July 2016 of Alton Sterling, 37-year-old street vendor who had been selling CDs in front of a local convenience store. The two officers arrived in response to a call that a man was brandishing a firearm. So it talks about, you know, all of these shootings. Every 28 hours is one report that was put out by some revolutionaries. I can't recall the name of the organization that put that out, but I'm sure y'all heard of that. Every 28 hours, a black person is killed by a cop, a vigilante, or a white supremacist. I'm kind of paraphrasing that, but you get the gist of what that report was about. And again, like I said yesterday, you know, this brutality is what led to the American Revolution. Despite them lies that you've been told about the founding fathers were standing up to the British government talking about taxation without representation and all that garbage. No, it started because of police brutality and what's the word I'm looking for? And you should not be surprised that it was a black man who led that protest against police brutality, the violence of the British soldiers in Boston, which turned into the Boston Massacre after he was gunned down along with his fellow protesters. This is the stuff they don't teach us. This is the, they want you to think it's all about these white men who were rapists and slavers and mass murderers and land thieves and what have you. And you just been given this false narrative. And like just almost every grass movement that erupts, it ends up in most cases getting hijacked. And I'm talking about the United States. The Cubans did not let that happen to their revolutionary movement that occurred in 1959. All right, so next article. This goes back to what I was talking about yesterday. This is published on SeanHannity.com. No, I don't like Sean Hannity, but it's the only person I seen post this article. And I probably could find it elsewhere, but I was like, let me just grab it from him. So it's not so much, and Sean Hannity is a propagandist, and he puts out fake news too, and racist news, but the information is the information. And so, you know, we will, he actually got it from the Washington Examiner. So let me just read this to you. Shock poll. Nearly 80% of Americans say media reports fake news. A stunning new survey from Monmouth University polling shows a vast majority of Americans believe the mainstream media actively promotes fake news. And you too, Sean Hannity. A massive increase from a similar study conducted just 1 year ago. The new data shows a whopping 77% of Americans believe the media, at least occasionally, reports fake news stories, blaming both individuals covering the stories as well as editorial boardrooms across the country. That's a stark increase from 63% who shared similar beliefs 1 year ago. The news about fake news is not good, according to Monmouth University poll. Large majorities of the American public believe that traditional media outlets engage in reporting fake news and that outside sources are actively trying to plant fake stories in the mainstream media, writes the survey. When it comes to the meaning of fake news, a majority believe that it involves editorial decisions as well as inaccurate reporting. The public feels that social media platforms are partly to blame for the spread of fake news and are not doing enough to stop it, the study adds. So, this is exactly what I was talking about yesterday. And these people, and I'm sure they believe what they believe for various reasons. You got the conservative crowd who believes that the liberals all put out fake news. Then you got the liberals believing all the conservative outlets put out fake news when they're both putting out fake news, okay? And there is no shortage of these websites that are not under mainstream control or corporate control where they engage in the same propaganda and the same and put out fake news to support whatever ideology they may have. And this is why I said yesterday I did the little segment and shared, you know, how people get fooled by this fake news, not doing research, not doing their own research, like the guy on his YouTube channel going to say that Haiti became part of the African Union. And that's simply not true. And a quick search on Haiti and African Union in any search engine will reveal that to be fake news. But, you know, a lot of us, we live in what they call, you know, we hear it's called the rat race. And we're always on the go. We're always coming and going. We just heard about Thomas, you know, he on his way from the plantation and whatnot. And this system is designed to keep us busy in doing things that don't directly or don't always directly benefit us. And, you know, there have been government programs that was adopted under COINTELPRO. I have taught the former Panthers. I can't never pronounce her name correctly. It's Kaya. I'm not even going to try to butcher her name. But she was a former Black Panther. Well, as the elders tell me, once a Panther, always a Panther. But she worked in Black radio back in the day. And she told me that they would get these news, what would you call them? Press releases from the FBI that would be demonizing people in the community, especially Panthers. And that these Black folks would be reading it word for word on air. So, you know, that kind of ties into what I'm saying in the scripture I shared. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's not point at fingers at people and their flaws, and we can't even look in the mirror and acknowledge our own flaws. You know, what did Michael Jackson say? I'm looking at the man in the mirror, all right? So even black media has been involved in putting out fake news. I mean, you look at Joy Ann Reid today on MSNBC. You look at Al Sharpton. You know, I think they relegated him to early Sunday mornings. But any of these showcase black people on corporate media who push the propaganda in the lies without question, because that's how they accumulate butter biscuits. They're not operating in the spirit of truth. They're operating in the spirit of greed. What can I get for myself? What do you want me to do, massa, in order for me to get these butter biscuits that taste so good? You know? So, you know, I don't know how to take this poll. I don't know if it's good news that the majority of the people who took this poll believe that all of this fake news is being disseminated, because it depends on their partisan view. And I know it's partisan. It's not objective. They're pointing fingers at you know, across the aisle. When all of these outlets are fake news. Look up Operation Mockingbird. Look that up. All right. All right. So that's the poll. 77% of Americans believe the media at least occasionally reports fake news stories. And this is actually going to be included in the newsletter, the monthly newsletter I'm going to put out. Because there's been a lot happening in media lately. And some of it's good. Some of it's some good news, too. All right, so let me move on to the next article. The next article, Thomas shared this one. He says, this is an old article, but as per our conversation yesterday, if the USA is making these robots, then in my opinion, anyone could be a potential enemy of the USA, and that's any non-white country should be trying to compete. My question is, why haven't scientists come out and boycotted or made a ruckus behind the USA, who both through the private sector, Google, Amazon, IBM, and, of course, we know IBM history working with the Nazis, right? And public universities and colleges have been making these robots for the last decade and a half. So the article is from military.com. It says, DARPA creating a killer robot army. So, you know, in the context of what we were talking about yesterday, we had a very good conversation around this yesterday. You got these scientists around the world who are protesting this scientific institute, who they say is working with a military contractor to create killer robots who are autonomous. And then, you know, what does autonomous mean? That means I'm not under anybody's control, right? So how are you going to have human control, any measure of human control over an autonomous, artificially intelligent robot? That goes against the definition of autonomous. So this is nothing new. And thank you for sharing this, Thomas. This is nothing new. As he says, let me pull up the date on this, see if I can get a date when this was published. This was published in 2013. That's 5 years ago when this was published. March 18, 2013. DARPA creating killer robot army. All right. The DARPA-funded study, which successfully conducted a mind meld of two rats, is a precursor to the creation of DARPA's ultimate goal, a Borg army of killer robots, which will use their hive mind to hunt down and eliminate targets. So, you know, that was allegedly the concern of those scientists about equipping killer robots with artificial intelligence. I mean, it's like, you know, I hear people say about the things you see in the movie. Sooner or later, in these science fiction movies, because that's where all inventions begin, is with the imagination. You sit down and you imagine something. You identify a problem. You want to come up with a solution for the problem, or you want to accomplish a task, and you use your imagination to create something. All right? And so what are these movies if these are not writers who are using their imagination to come up with scenarios? But it always, more than likely than not, we see, it may be a decade later, it may be 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later, 50 years later, we always see what we see on the movie screen come into reality. So those scientists are correct in being concerned about them creating real Terminator robots. Let me see. I think Thomas wants to chime in on that. Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Scotty, thank you, man. I had to dig in the archives to find the first article I pulled up with that killer robot terminology. And yeah, as you said, it went back to 2013, and they even have robot a video in that article. And the robots in the video look exactly like the ones they have now, which leads me to think that they have some real stuff that they don't want us to see. But what I chimed in for was there's a science called cybernetics. And what cybernetics means is governance or control. Forgive me, I'm in the city. You can hear the engines in the background. If you need me to mute, I will. They're coming up on me. But the cybernetics was started in 1947, where they took the leading scientists in different areas. Oh, let me mute my line, Scotty. They're coming through. Sorry.
All right. While he waits on that to pass, I also... I think Roz posted it. It could have been Thomas, but I also posted, I think it was Roz, where I mentioned on yesterday's program, they've already deployed robot security guards. And he shared an article where they had deployed these robot security guards into Dubai. And then I posted the article where they were deployed by a company in California. So those articles were found and posted for you in btrcommunity.com. Thomas, can you speak now? You're still muted.
Yes, sorry. I'm sorry about that, bro. City, I can't control it. But anytime, that's the first time that the word automation and artificial intelligence, all that comes from this cybernetics conference in 1947, where they took a bunch of different scientists, and as they started talking to each other about their specific fields, one could realize, oh, this one could help me do what I need to do in this field. And they started meeting. I think they met for a decade straight, and it continues now. It's just spread out throughout the university. But just one thing about the AI is they don't build anything. That's the whole part. That's the whole point of cybernetics. Is they don't build anything without the control mechanism already established inside of it. So it has a kill switch. It's no way they do anything without a kill switch. It's all in their documentation if you want to do some research on it.
But but my thing would be this, Thomas. Just like in the Terminator movies, they had a kill switch too, but it didn't work. Because this artificial intelligence had figured out a way, a workaround, a kill switch. Just like, you know, we were talking about Facebook playing around with AIs and them developing languages, talking to each other that the developers didn't know what they were talking about. So, you know, we had these so-called fail safes, but they're not always fail safe. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, Scotty, and you're absolutely right, man. My fear is that they don't have a kill switch. And just to keep in mind that whatever artificial intelligence, whatever these robots have been programmed with, it's coming from the minds of the white supremacists. So these are not going to be any different than the white people walking around today, how they treat us. You know, we're still going to be the most suspected of committing a crime. It's going to look at our black skin and automatically assume that we're doing something wrong. And it's not going to have the judgment of the people that programmed it. So, you know, you might be in a situation where
it's going to profile you, just like they profile us today.
It's programmed to profile you. Because you can't train a computer to know different people without teaching it racism. It has to know the difference between black and white. Why is that black? Why is that white? I mean, all those things have to be put into the algorithm. And these are racists that's programming it, so it's not going to get any better for us.
All right, thank you for sharing that, Thomas. Let's move. I'm sorry, somebody was speaking.
I'm sorry, Scotty. This is Ross. I just wanted to touch base on the robot before you transition from that briefly, just to add even more context. I did a show a long time ago on another platform, and I discussed the etymology of the term robot. And robot actually means slave, as does the term orphan. Because in European culture, an orphan was a person whose both of their parents were deceased. So as a result, they had no protection from the rampant sexual abuse, exploitation, and enslavement that was taking place in Europe. So they created these orphanages where they would literally sell people's children to families that wanted them, and they would enslave the children, use them for sexual exploitation, and they basically had them enslaved. Whatever the family wanted them to do, they had to do it. And if you look up the etymology of the term robot, they will let you know in no uncertain terms that the term robot is directly tied to the term slave. So in other words, black people weren't good enough. We weren't controllable. So they had to create their own slave that in their mind could be the perfect slave, thus the creation of a robot. Now they're creating robots or slaves that they're trying to make autonomous. So in that regard, like you said with the Facebook bots that were speaking in a language that they couldn't understand, what did our ancestors do? They spoke in languages white people couldn't understand, so they abused them into speaking only English. The robots, they couldn't abuse them into speaking only English because they were autonomous, so they shut them down. So I just wanted to add that context. Anytime you hear the term robot, just replace it with the term slave because they're synonymous. Thank you.
Also, Ross, speaking to the ingenuity and the willpower of the victims of slavery, they still develop codes through songs. And, they were singing songs, and it was telling you about the North Star, and old Peter Rabbit goes this way, and they were telling you how to get on the Underground Railroad.
Absolutely, yes. In their so-called Negro spirituals, they were actually liberation songs that would tell people, like you said, about the North Star, what places they can stop by if they were on the Underground Railroad, where they could stop and be helped and given food and shelter. So, you are absolutely right. And then think about it. That was the origin of slang. Because we were forced to speak English, we started to use English in ways that white people couldn't understand it. And then with the advent of hip-hop, we started schooling white people. This is what this means. And then the very early expression of that was when you started to see hip-hop in cartoons and commercials. Like when you had the Fred Flintstones and Barney, and they were basically dressed like Run DMC. So all of that stuff was the beginning of us indoctrinating white people into what we were saying when we were speaking. And as a result now, they're all in it, and we can't speak codified using the English language anymore because they know everything. We've assimilated to the point where we've given away all of that. So I just wanted to toss that out there too. So let me make myself an observation.
And one last thing on robotics before I move on to the rest of these articles. Again, if we need to go over 2 hours, we can. There's no program coming on after us. So however long people wanted to, discuss what we're discussing today. But one more point on the robots. Now, this is also speaking to the human robots that are created through propaganda. Some people might call it cognitive dissonance, or they may call them sheepo and stuff like that. But if for those who pay attention to politics or pay attention to social media and the things people talking about in politics on social media, you will notice that whatever political label they're wearing, they repeat the talking points that their masters have laid out for them. They have literally been programmed with these talking points, and they repeat them over and over and over without thought. That's a robot. Very robotic behavior. They are not critically thinking or independently thinking for themselves. They are supposed to be human intelligent, right? But they've been dumbed down. And that's just really sad. And they do that via media. Okay. So, social media is dangerous. It can be a weapon for our good. It can also be a weapon used against us. All right. So that's why I wanted to add the roboticness that I see of people who operate in the people activity area of politics. Next article. Speaking of politics, here's an article coming to you from The Hill. Com, which, although based in Washington, D.C., did not send a reporter out to cover the Millions for Human Rights, Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March and Rally, which was the first abolitionist meeting, mass meeting, since before the Civil War, you know, these abolitionists coming together to hear different speakers and tell the people that slavery was never abolished, that it still legally exists as punishment for crime. The Hill didn't think to send nobody out there. In fact, no mainstream media reporter showed up. They was all went out to that Women's March, where all those white women went to complain about their place in white supremacy, which is definitely several rungs above every black non-white person on the planet. So, you know, for the day, they just want more power. They want to be equals with the white supremacist men. That's what they be complaining about. But this article comes to you from The Hill. It says the Green Party puts Dem seat. Let me open this up because it's not adopting to my browser because I got half screen. My articles, the other screen are bored. So let me open this up. Green Party puts Dem seat at risk in Montana. Now, let me just read a little bit. Democrats are fighting to keep the Montana Green Party from fielding a candidate in the race against Senator John Tester, a Democrat. Tester, running for a third term this year, is one of the most vulnerable Democrats up for re-election. His state favored President Trump over Hillary Clinton by a 21-point margin in 2016, and Tester himself won both his previous elections with less than 50% of the vote. He now may face multiple challengers on the ballot this fall, creating a chance for a Green Party candidate to siphon votes from the left. Now, what's the problem with that narrative? Now, doesn't that sound very, to use some of their terms, like they're undermining democracy? What's the problem Democrats got with competition? Why do they want the American people to only have two choices, to only be able to vote for one wing of the same bird? Okay, why not put forth policies, okay, that would attract voters that would vote for the Democratic candidate based on his policy positions, instead of alleging that the Green Party is siphoning votes away from the Dems? They're going to help. That's the same thing they said during the 2016 campaign. They blame Jill Stein, who I wrote in on my ballot as a protest vote. I am not voting for the white supremacist party or the Republicans or the white supremacist party or the Democrats with those two candidates. Okay, now I lay aside party affiliation. I look at policies. I try to support people that put forth policies that's going to help us the most. Okay, not always going to get everything you want, but
of the freedom of assembly.
Where is that coming
somewhere
from?
Somewhere I read. Of the freedom of...
Okay, I'm not sure where that noise was coming from, but let me continue on. Anyway, it goes on to just frame it. The way they're laying this out is like, oh, the dastardly Green Party, how dare they put up a candidate? They're going to cause the Democrat to lose. Okay, that's garbage. That's anti-democratic, to borrow some of their language. They're undermining democracy, and that's just it's just exposing the sham of the system, where you either got freak or frack, and ain't neither one of them got our back. So, you know, same thing they did with blaming Jill Stein, blaming the Russians, instead of blaming the fact that you rigged the primary with one of the most unpopular candidates in history in Hillary Clinton, with all kind of political baggage. And then when she loses, even though your polling told you she would lose to Donald Trump or any Republican, you want to blow up the world literally by starting a confrontation with this flat fake narrative about the Russians using Russian agents like Jill Stein of the Green Party. All right, this is, I tell y'all people, You got to be able to read between the lines. I think Max wanted to chime in on something. Right now we're in the What's in the News section. After we get through What's in the News, we'll get into our conversation about Dr. King, the burning house of black morality, and just putting into context what he meant when he stated that we are integrating into a burning house. But before I go to Max, let me just take a quick station identification break. You are listening to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network. This program airs Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be right back after this quick message.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Now the Wu-Tanga. All right, we are back. Max, did you have something you wanted to add, my abolitionist comrade?
Peace, Brother Scotty. Peace to the listeners. What's happening, everybody? Yeah, can you hear me, Scotty?
Yes.
Well, you were talking about robotics earlier and artificial intelligence, and I was just looking at a story that's about predictive policing, which we've talked about before. And, you know, in the film documentary Do Not Resist, one of the developers there explained how they're able to determine within a 50% probability whether or not your unborn child will commit a murder as an adult. So the question for them becomes, do we prevent this child's birth? And that's basically a bot determining whether your child will be a murderer as an adult or not.
Right. That also speaks to profiling, you know, programming these pro. Because, matter of fact, isn't it Chicago that spent millions of dollars on a computer model to predict what neighborhoods and what individuals would commit crime, like the movie Minority Report?
Yes, and those things are actually being used as we speak right now in law enforcement, predictive policing. At one point, it had gotten so bad that they had to do a study to determine whether or not it was being programmed to be racist, because they were targeting black communities primarily with this predictive policing and arresting people for things that they hadn't even done. It was pretty crazy, but a little research will show you all the different articles on it. Yeah, certainly it's amazing. And the thing is, as I said, this wasn't human beings who were picking these people. It was a bot, a robot, basically an artificial intelligence who would ring up their determination on what this person was likely going to do.
And I wonder if Mark Zuckerberg worked with them on that, you know, considering Facebook know almost everything about us. So, yeah.
It's possible, because Facebook does have an algorithm, and it has been published, where they can determine what you're going to say or think before YouTube based on your patterns on Facebook itself.
Right. Well, this next article actually is speaking to that, and this is something that Max shared on New Abolitionist Radio this last Wednesday, but I thought I would, because there's a little bit more information here. But the article comes to you from TheGuardian.com. It says, dangerous, growing yet unnoticed, the rise of America's white gangs. Now, see, that's a deception right there, or either Donna Ladd doesn't know anybody better. They know about these white people. They know about these white gangs and what have you. So it goes on to say, white gangs are less covered by the media and less punished, even though 53% of gang members in Mississippi are white. When he was 13, three white teenage boys beat Benny Ivy. They aimed for his chest as his back pressed against the wall of his friend's house in Florence, Mississippi. The skinny blonde adolescent had to show he was tough enough to become a black gangster disciple? What? What the hell? It was 1989, the height of the crack era, and many white kids wanted to join black gangs that did not welcome them, so they initiated each other into homegrown copycat versions. Ivy lived in a trailer park, and the thought of wearing the gang's colors, black and blue, made him excited to be part of something beyond his chaotic family. Let me say something, because I talked about black gangs yesterday, and for those who know the history of the Crips, those are the ones that wear blue, and the story of Stanley Tookie Williams, They did not start out as a criminal gang. They started out as a self-defense organization for the community, okay, out there in California. So, you know, without going too far off course, that just came to my mind. But was it Mississippi, Max, if you'll help me out here, was it Mississippi or Alabama that where all the people who were being arrested on these gang charges were black, and they and not a single white gang member was ever arrested? Was that Mississippi?
That was Mississippi. Yes, Mississippi. From 2010 through 2017, everyone arrested on their existing gang laws were black, 100%.
Now, I'm going to say something. Everybody may not agree with this, but I think Malcolm X hinted at this, and I'm talking about Malcolm X post-NOI as he evolved in his views. We often talk about Martin Luther King moving closer to Malcolm's position, but Malcolm was also moving closer to Dr. King's position on certain issues. And he talked about these white youths and what have you. And I feel like that was a missed opportunity to prevent these young white kids from growing up to be racist white supremacists. If you get them while they're young, you can mold their minds, you know? And I'm not talking about training them to be crack dealers or something like that, but to align themselves with street families, non-white street families, and then we could turn around and turn them into spooks who sat by the door. I like to think outside the box. I don't think white people are supreme, and I know that is not meant what is meant when we say white supremacists. We're talking about a system. We're talking about the people in charge who put this system in place. That doesn't mean we're saying that they are supreme. I'm not saying, let me speak for myself. Hey, ain't nobody based on their skin color is more intelligent than I am, okay, or anybody else. Skin color has nothing to do with your intelligence, okay? And so some of the same tactics and tricks that they use on us, I believe they are susceptible to the same, all right? So let me move on. They're basically giving a profile of these people. It's not really getting into what Max had shared about. I mean, it's a good addition to the other article that pointed out that in Mississippi, the only people being targeted with these gang laws are black people, which I would think if I was targeted, I would be signing on to a class action lawsuit, because that is racism by the state that has been outlawed by law that Dr. King actually fought for. See, you know? So, yeah, I'm going to leave that there because it's just a very, very long article. But the fact remains is these slave catchers ignore the criminality of white people and just focus on black people, all right? And oftentimes, you know, these black people are involved in crimes of survival because the racist system has locked them out of economics to the point to where they're forced to survive and doing things they otherwise may not do. Another thing Dr. King was working on, you know, on addressing poverty. All right, next article. This one comes from Thomas Downfall, a former South Korean president sentenced to 24 years in prison, came quickly. The decision Friday and ousted former South Korean President Park Ji-hae, I can't pronounce that name, year-long trial was delivered slowly, charge by charge, for more than an hour as the nation watched on live television and commented on social media. In the process, Chief Judge Kim Si-yoon's calm voice itself became the trending topic on Twitter, with transfixed observers describing his tone as sweet and gentle. Man, y'all just can't keep focused on what's important, can you? Now, I'll just say this. Compare and contrast when we see presidents and other high officials in other nations who are held accountable for their corruption and their crimes, and then you compare and contrast that to America. When has there ever been a president who was prosecuted when his criminality was exposed? Don't tell me Richard Nixon, because he wasn't prosecuted. He just resigned. He resigned. There was no prosecution. He, and rather than getting impeached which could have cost him his lifetime pension as president, he resigned instead, avoiding impeachment. But he was never charged with a crime, even though he violated many federal statutes, and not just Nixon, but I would submit to you every president since Nixon has engaged in violations of U.S. law and international law, but they're never held responsible. All right. Let me move on to the next article. U.S. hits Russian oligarchs and officials with sanctions over election interference. This comes from NPR. The Trump administration is laying sanctions on 38 Russian oligarchs, government officials, and business entities, citing the Kremlin's malign agenda that ranges from malicious online campaigns and efforts to undermine democracy to its actions in eastern Ukraine and Syria. 7 Russian oligarchs and 12 companies they own or control are on the new sanctions list. Now, let me say this. There is no evidence whatsoever that any Russians hacked the elections. The Russians did not disenfranchise and kick 200,000 people off the voter rolls in Brooklyn. All right. Those were Democratic officials who were part of the election commission who did that. The Russians did not hack the voter database in Arizona and switch people's affiliation in a closed primary from Democrat to unaffiliated, to where they couldn't vote for a Bernie Sanders versus a Hillary Clinton. Same thing happened in California, okay? But you're not getting any news about this. You're getting this made up fake news, and in this case from NPR, saying, I mean, listen to the headline. U.S. hits Russian oligarchs and officials with sanctions over election interference. What election interference? What election interference? I don't care about 13 Russians posting some ads to social media, half of which came after the election was over, because we're getting fake news from every source, okay? From every source. And then we hear those who say WikiLeaks publishing the email showing Hillary Clinton was a criminal who engaged in international violations of law, who broke U.S. law about the assassinating leaders of heads of states. All of this came out in the emails. So it's not, they're not focusing on the crimes of Hillary Clinton. Oh, the crime is Hillary Clinton being exposed and WikiLeaks publishing the emails no matter where they came from, which most people, and I subscribe to this view, it was a leak, not a hack, because the DNC server was never examined by the FBI. It was never examined by any federal agency. They hired a private contractor who then came out and said exactly what the employer wanted them to say. Nobody saw those servers. Nobody saw those servers, okay? No federal government. So this is the fake news, people, that we get constantly getting hit with. All right, next. And then also I want to speak to this on the fact that Donald Trump is a coward. He's a chump, okay? There are some things that he have said that I wish he would do, like pulling U.S. troops from the illegal invasion and occupation of parts of Syria. That would be the right thing to do. He said it's time to rebuild America and bring these troops home. They've been gone long enough. We need to bring them home. But the establishment, both Republicans, Democrats, and the fascist intelligence agencies have been successful in bullying Donald Trump into taking a anti-Russian position and taking these articles to the point that taking these actions, and also to where he's even walking back his comments on withdrawing U.S. troops. He's a coward, man. I guess Trump say, I don't want to be JFK'd. I don't want to be assassinated for going against the CIA. Maybe that's why he nominated a CIA, a confirmed CIA torturer to lead the CIA. So all you Trump supporters out there that's talking about he's draining the swamp, don't look like it to me. His actions don't show he draining the swamp. He was talking tough, but he sure ain't walking tough. He walking lightly, all right? He's walking softly, and he's giving in to that swamp. So I say that. America's looming war with Venezuela. What you're not being told, this comes to you from the anti-media. I only got a few more articles. Again, we need to go over the 8 o'clock hour. We can, because I'm the manager, and we don't have another program coming on after us. So we'll get through all these articles. We have time to get through these articles today. At any time, though, I want to let people know, y'all can jump in. If you want to add some commentary, if you want to ask a question, if you want clarification on something I said, give us a call at 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Hit star to unmute yourself. Please watch your background noise as much as possible. Let me see. Let me go into this. This article about Venezuela. And they've been making moves on Venezuela ever since the days of Hugo Chavez, who many people, I can't say for certain because I haven't seen the evidence, but there are a lot of people that believe that you want to talk about the UK poisoning some, I mean, excuse me, you want to talk about Russia poisoning a traitor who had no intelligence value? Who poisoned Hugo Chavez? There are some people saying the CIA was behind that. Okay, but again, America is a hypocritical nation. Many of these people talking about this crap are hypocrites. They're hypocrites. All right, let me go ahead and read that scripture for you again. You hypocrite, first remove the beam out your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck out your brother's eye. All right, but we know the United States does not operate with other nations as equal partners in the world. They have no sense of brotherhood. They want to practice slavery. Okay, so let me read a little bit from this article. This comes to you from Anti-Media, which is a source that I do like. Countries that don't eagerly follow the U.S.-led global order make prime targets for American-led invasions, particularly when those countries challenge the status of the U.S. dollar. Right now, Venezuela is one of these countries. Venezuela sits on the world's largest oil reserves, and in order to free itself from what it calls the tyranny of the U.S. dollar and maximizing its potential on these oil reserves, the country began publishing its oil and fuel in Chinese yuan in September of last year. This is something Dave has been talking about and sharing with you as the Chinese have moved to the petro yuan to compete with the U.S. petrodollar. All right. And it recently added further insult to injury and launched the world's first state-backed cryptocurrency known as the petro. According to Time, however, the petro is in fact a collaboration, a half-hidden joint venture between Venezuelan and Russian officials and businessmen whose aim was to erode the power of U.S. sanctions. This development was enough to provoke the Trump administration into signing an executive order designating anyone who buys or uses this cryptocurrency as in breach of economic sanctions the U.S. slapped on Venezuela in August of last year. Again, man. The U.S. slapping sanctions here, slapping sanctions there. What hypocrites. They have destabilized the entire planet. And when people say we don't want to play your games and we're going to exercise self-determination and we're going to sanctions. And then these sanctions only work is because the World Bank is in the pocket of the United States, of USA Inc., that corporation that we call a government. Altogether, Trump has already imposed more than 20 individual economic sanctions on Venezuela. For those who believe America's infatuation with the country is about human rights concerns and that it has nothing to do with Venezuela's untapped oil reserves and its ties to currency, think again. The main opposition leader, who is up against incumbent leader Nicolas Maduro, Henry Falcon, currently has a former Wall Street economist advising him, who believes that in order to solve Venezuela's problems, it should rid itself of the Bolivar as its official currency and replace it with the U.S. dollar. The U.S. has been spending millions supporting opposition activity in Venezuela and was doing so even under the Obama administration. Whether it is done subtly or overtly in Trump-esque fashion, the seeds of regime change in Venezuela are being sown throughout the media discourse. See, again, this is what I'm talking about. The hypocrisy of these people who want to point fingers at Russia with no evidence whatsoever, or very, very weak circumstantial evidence at best, want to talk about another nation undermining their democracy when they've been making moves like this for ever, basically, especially since the CIA came into existence in the 1950s. But even before that, they were using military intelligence to do these things. This is the hypocrisy that we refuse to see. That, and when I say we, I'm speaking as a person who lives in America, who observes all of these useful idiots who believe the fake news coming from the corporate media talking about somebody interfering in American elections. Nobody undermines American elections more than Americans. When you look at these felony disenfranchisement laws, we look at these voter ID laws, when we look at the gerrymandering of voter districts to disenfranchise non-white people, to water down the power of the ballot, nobody undermines American elections more than American officials. This is the hypocrisy that many people refuse to see. They got logs in their eyes, all right? So I'm going to leave it there. You can read the rest of that by pulling it up on btrcommunity.com. It is posted in today's Tando Radio Show thread. Here's an article about Facebook. This also comes to you from the antimedia.com. Facebook sent a cardiologist to several major U.S. hospitals to pitch a scheme that would combine a patient's medical file with user data collected by the beleaguered social media giant in order to figure out which patients might need special care or treatment, reports CNBC. The title of this article, Facebook sent a doctor on a secret mission to get your data from hospitals. The program, which never progressed past the planning phase, according to Facebook, was put on pause after the Cambridge Analytica data harvesting scandal raised concerns over the company's policy governing data collection and use. Facebook's pitch, according to two people who heard it and one who is familiar with the project, was to combine what a health system knows about its patients, such as person has heart disease, is age 50, takes two medications, and made three trips to the hospital this year, with what Facebook knows, such as user is age 50, married with three kids, English isn't a primary language, actively engages with the community by sending a lot of messages. Recently, as last month, however, Facebook was discussing the program with several health organizations, including Stanford Medical School and the American College of Cardiology. All right, you can read the rest of that. Again, you can find the article posted in BTR Community. It also reminds me of another article where it was talking about how, you know, Facebook, for those that got the Facebook Messenger app or the Facebook app, which I deleted off of my phone, but it'll recommend friends to you, right? All right, you can recommend friends to other people, but Facebook will recommend people to you that you might know. And what he had done was went into people's address books, all right, saw that these people had the same telephone number for the same psychiatrist. They were seeing the same psychiatrist, and then recommended that these people friend each other. That's how intrusive Facebook is, people. That's how intrusive it is. So you can heed the warnings or not. Play at your own risk, as the old hip hop song goes.
All right, so can I say something?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, Facebook. See, what you said that was so scary right there
that they've invested $3 billion into becoming a medical corporation, as has Alphabet, which is Google, as has Apple, Microsoft. They're all big time invested into curing diseases. And with Facebook already knowing what diseases people have posted, I mean, with the way they could target advertisements and things, I mean, they're sitting on a gold mine. So that's really scary that they have all that information. Really scary.
And then it also brings up HIPAA questions. You know, HIPAA is the law to where your medical information isn't supposed to be revealed, but yet you had the medical community, some of them, in a project working with Facebook on this. That's HIPAA violations. You're getting into people's medical history and what have you. That's why I keep telling people, come to btrcommunity.com. I'm on Facebook, so you don't have to. All right. I knew the risk when I was getting involved. I'm a public person to begin with. I run a media nonprofit. I am the person most associated with the platform Black Talk Radio. I've been on these people's radar for quite some time, and I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid to die for my principles. So I'm on Facebook to disseminate information, but also help get people off of there by telling them about btrcommunity.com. So, you know, use Facebook at your own risk, but don't say that we have not shared this important information about them in intruding upon your lives and spying on you and working with the government and these other corporations to know everything it is to know about you, to profile you.
Got it.
Yes.
Oh, thanks for letting me chime in again. Yeah, I got to speak on that because you're absolutely right. I've worked at multiple medical companies, and HIPAA laws are extremely stringent. So that is a violation. You're not supposed to be connecting those bits of information. And it made me think about something. There's a show that comes on Showtime that's called Homeland, and it takes like real stories out of CIA records as well as Mossad, because it's actually made by Israelis, and it's dealing with all of these different things that have either happened or they're made up stories based on things that could happen. And when you're able to take someone's social media and connect it to their medical records, that is dangerous. And in the Homeland episode that I remember, I think it was like the second season, the vice president had his pacemaker hacked into, and he dropped dead right in his office. And the person who actually killed him was able to stand over him as he was dying of heart failure and tell him, like, I'm the one who did it to you. And it made me think, if you are connecting people's social media activity on Facebook with their medical records and you find out that person has a pacemaker, you can hack into it. Matter of fact, there's a brother who calls into Beverly D's show. His name is Derek, and his mom had like a pacemaker that they wanted to connect to a monitoring device, and he said nope, like he did not allow his mother to do that because of those same reasons. So the ability to find out someone's medical history and murder them, because we already seen that they hack in Mercedes-Benz cars and killing folks. I forget the guy's name. We've talked about him numerous times, but I believe he was coming out. He was going to be putting out information about the Clinton organization, and literally his car was hacked, and like he was running to a wall. I think like 100 miles. Yeah,
Seth Rich.
Thank you so much. And you know, so the ability to take those medical records, find out what's actually wrong with someone.
Seth Rich is the one who was shot in Washington, D.C. He wasn't the one in the car. He's the one they believe leaked the data from the DNC servers on Hillary Clinton in the DNC. And he was found shot to death in alleged robbery, but he still had all his jewelry, had his wallet, and all of that.
Yeah, and it's just crazy because with people's medical records, there's a lot that can be done, and now they're even creating pills that tell the doctor whether you took it. There's going to be nanotechnology that you can inhale. They might leave, you know, spray your house with nanoparticles that they have computer control over that are microscopic that you have no idea are in your house.
And don't forget, Ross, they've been chipping children and animals in case they get lost, just, you know, psychologically preparing you for to accept the mark of the beast.
You're absolutely correct. So, I mean, and even with, like, the nanotechnology, you can kill people using that, too. So, I mean, there's so many myriad of ways. And to me, if they connect someone's, quote-unquote, activist or, quote-unquote, revolutionary, or they might even term it insurgent online activity, they can set you up medically to die. So it's so much deeper than just exposing people's records. Like, there's so many connections they can make to either ruin someone's life completely or kill them without them even being consciously aware that these things are being set up based on these connections between their social media activity and their medical records. So
can I chime in?
Absolutely. I'll mute myself.
No doubt, man. It's a good conversation. I just want to know if you guys were aware of Tyrone Williams being killed Tuesday night.
No, are you talking about Dr. Tyrone Williams?
No. This is an activist out of North Minneapolis. And he was involved with the Jamar Clark and Philando Castile efforts for justice with them. And he was just murdered on his mother's porch just 3 days ago. And this has been happening a lot. They didn't know. They don't know who did it. The person got away. There's no evidence, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of activists have been being murdered as of late. And often the killer gets away scot-free.
Mm-hmm. You know, with your mentee being one of those recently murdered.
Yes. Muyadin Dibaha, shot in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. All right. I just going to share just the last few headlines. I'm going to take a station identification break. I'm actually take a music break. And I want to share this track that was sent to me from a New Orleans rapper who heard me on Black Talk Radio News a couple of years ago, when I was talking again. They were talking about this gun control, and I'm like, why y'all black folks is so against guns? You out there buying Jordans and your enemy buying guns. And he used that as a line in this track I'm gonna play for you, but it also ties into our conversation that I want to have on the burning black house of morality that Dr. King was speaking on, and also the burning house of injustice that he feared we were integrating in. And I will share his quote again, which in one part, he sounds very naive if he thought that America ever had a moral vision, which he seems to indicate he believed that there were, you know, it was people who had morality on their mind practicing justice. That's never been the case, but we'll forgive him for that naivete. But his quote is very, very, what would I say, prophetic about black folks ceasing to be the moral consciousness of this place they call America. All right, so the last few stories: humanity versus technology, the race between intelligence and consciousness. That is published on, let me see, Wake Up World. So check that out, wakeup-world.com. Again, you can access the article via btrcommunity.com. Also, a Preppers article posted by Ross, 11 items you should not have in your bug out bag. Ask a Prepper. As you know, we do have a Preppers Corner group where we share articles and tips on preparing for emergencies and what have you.
Of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read.
All right. Let me see. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and take this music break. This is a New Orleans rapper by the name of Father Ja. Let me make sure that this will load up.
One thing about what Trayvon Martin told you. That
okay, that's the wrong one. Racial. That's Father Ja. Trayvon told me about creepy crackers. That's not the one I'm looking for. But I will find it. I will find it for you. So stay tuned. We're going to take a short music break, and then we'll come back. We'll get into our conversation about what Dr. King meant about integrating into a burning house. You're listening to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network, airing live Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. This is Father Ja, Martin Luther King, Guns and Jordans.
And our conscience compel us to act on behalf of those who long for freedom. And we must be a source of hope to the poor, the sick, marginalized, the victims of prejudice. Not out of mere charity, but because peace in our times requires the constant advance of those principles that our common creed describes.
Now tell me where you're gonna hide, where you're gonna run, when your enemy buying guns and you buying Jordans. Now tell me where you're gonna hide, where you're gonna run, when your enemy buying guns and you buying Jordans. Happy Martin Luther King Fest. Purchase some new kicks, can't tell me that I ain't fresh. But meanwhile, in the rest of the world, bomb blowing, chicks hoeing, I'm a splurging earl and I. Happy Martin Luther King Fest. Blowing so loud the drink is kicking, it should do the rest. But meanwhile, in the rest of the world, some get evicted for what they trick with playing with that girl. Martin and Malcolm both died of a broken heart. If this the dream, the wild families be ripped apart. My ninja, you can skip me with the accessible. It ain't about no leader, it's about principle. Distribute lies to the easily convincible. Long enough so when you tell the truth, they say the lie is shit. Distortion of your logic, you can't even imagine just what that alone can do to you. That's why in school they never teachin' no Khalid Muhammad. How Robert Williams, cause they couldn't kill him, let's be honest. No disrespect indeed to those OGs, they gave their life. I wrote this rhyme on the same block your mom was sacrificed. When only acting what is acting right in God's sight. If we just criminal thugs, why they be acting like? Arrest the president like tragedy rap. But most whites ain't hear that until that's where Obama sat. Now tell me where you gonna hide, where you gonna run, where your enemy buying guns and you buying Jordans.
See now truly I don't even expect the masses to truly fill it with super bad gamers dressed up as average in your dishes. See, you gotta be on focus if you ain't never noticed that the only punk icons are dead into your head. And the way I see it nowadays, a proud fisherman on the floor is that he'll never say the story that the big ones that got away. So maybe the highlight moral of the Dr. King wasn't the fact that he had a dream, but the technology that regardless of how peaceful and loving you attempt to conduct your affairs, a right motherfucker still gon' scheme. And with the right image consultant to control your rep, you too can send drones to innocent people's homes. And in the next rep, act like you got to walk in Martin Luther King's footsteps. And truth be told, I ain't making no revelations, yeah, I'm just thinking out loud. I ain't talking about nobody, I'm really talking about everybody. And at the end of the day, the only ends of my square allegiance to it and my political party is bad niggas touching real things without going to jail. Anything else is only a figment of your imagination. Father John Drugs Beats album dropped on February 14th to make those who appreciate superior doctrine love hip-hop again. Salute.
Completing his inaugural address. Sometimes these inaugural addresses can be rote affairs, but there was a lot to react to in this one, as Jeff Greenfield, who's on the set with us, noted. He tacked to the left in quite a noticeable way in this speech, calling out his desire to take action on opponents.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm sitting in for Dave, who will be back Monday evening to resume hosting Tando Radio Show as he's taking this much needed time off to handle some of his business. But one of the lines from that track, again, that is Father Ja. He sent me that track because he said I inspired it when I said, you know, what your enemy out there buying guns and you focused on you standing in line to buy Jordans. They standing in line to get guns. You standing in line and fighting each other to get Jordans. And that's what inspired that. Then, but the line that really stood out to me, though, was when he said, you sending drones to innocent people homes and then get to act like you walking in Dr. King's footsteps. He's talking about Obama. Obama, I think, is the pinnacle of what Dr. King warned us about when he said we were integrating into a burning house. Instead of us becoming, instead of us remaining the moral consciousness of America, the primary people producing justice, many of us have been integrated into stinking thinking to where we cheer imperialists and we cheer on those who look like us based on a skin color and not the content of their character. What kind of character sends drones to these nations that have not attacked this nation and kills people and even declares every male who is 16 years old is an enemy combatant and a military target? What kind of character is that? That's not a moral, that's not someone with morality. What kind of moral person walks around with a kill list and not only walks around with a kill list, but brags about it? That's your Obama. That's Barack Obama. So before I get into it, because I got some clips I want to play in support of what I'm attempting to convey to you, but let me read his quote, because context is very, very important. It's very important. So I'm going to pull up this article, and I'm going to read the quote, then I'm going to read the article. This article was published on The Final Call by Jania Butler, and this was actually published in 2014. This was following the Ferguson Rebellion, but I believe before the Baltimore Rebellion. Integrating into a burning house. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s last conversation with Harry Belafonte echoed in my head as I watched the Ferguson aftermath send the country in a tailspin. I've come upon something, she's quoting King now, I've come upon something that disturbs me deeply. We have fought hard and long for integration, as I believe we should have, and I know we will win. But I have come to believe that we are integrating into a burning house. I am afraid that America has lost the moral vision she may have had, and that's the line I'm talking about. Dr. King perhaps was being an optimist, or perhaps he was not really thinking about what he was saying. I don't believe that a nation founded on slavery and genocide could ever have a moral vision. But that's neither here or there. And I'm afraid, he goes on to say, that even as we integrate, we are walking into a place that does not understand that this nation needs to be deeply concerned with the plight of the poor and disenfranchised. Until we commit ourselves to ensuring that the underclass is given justice and opportunity, we will continue to perpetuate the anger and violence that tears the soul of this nation. I fear I am integrating my people into a burning house. She goes on to write, Miss Butler, that is, burning house. What was the burning house Dr. King was referring to? Does the burning house resemble Ferguson, Missouri? Does it resemble Officer Darren Wilson's testimony rationalizing why he killed Michael Brown? America is the burning house, and it's still on fire. A negative narrative is being scripted around black men aimed at destroying any positive perspectives of who we are as a people and how we conduct our lives. Images of professional football players punching and dragging their women, abusing their children. Not to mention America's favorite dad is publicly being crucified for allegedly drugging and sexually abusing a host of women, while we see young Michael Brown viciously push a store owner moments before he is gunned down. According to the latest count, People in 170 cities protested the grand jury decision not to indict Officer Darren Wilson for the murder of Michael Brown 3 days before Thanksgiving. Thousands across the country took to the streets and expressed how they felt in the wake of the decision. The city of Ferguson experienced two nights of civil unrest after a nighttime grand jury announcement on November the 25th. I believe that the announcement was unnecessarily delayed to provoke the citizens of Ferguson, proving the match to set off the fuse of violence and looting. We know the freaks come out at night. Christmas is right around the corner. Why would you bait the disenfranchised who see no reason to care about the life and well-being of others when no one seems to care about them? Do you think there was no strategy in place when the state of Missouri deployed the National Guard? And I will also add that Barack Obama declared a no-fly zone over Ferguson. But yet, we got his most ardent defenders want to pretend like he walking in the footsteps of Dr. King, to quote Father Jah. All right. They use their manpower to protect the federal buildings and areas they deem no looting zones. Meanwhile, they sat back and watched many protesters throw a pricey tantrum in an affected community live on TV. This was a chance to intensify the circumstances of Darren Wilson's experience with Michael Brown. Look at what they are capable of. If they are doing that to their own community, what do you think they would do to you? Then we finally met a calm Officer Wilson on television as he publicly shares his version of events for the first time. He was obviously coached to describe his encounter as if he were the store owner we all got a visual of Michael Brown pushing and taking cigars from. In his interview, he said he felt like a five-year-old attempting to restrain Hulk Hogan. No, Officer Wilson, the store owner looked like a five-year-old next to Hulk Hogan. You are 6'4". Michael Brown was also 6'4". Wilson's legal team exploited images of Michael Brown's altercation in the store. At the end of the day, Darren Wilson acted out of fear and cultural stereotypes that led him to believe his life was in imminent danger if he indeed felt that way. A 1985 Supreme Court decision places uncertain limitation on the use of deadly force. It is approved for use only when the officer reasonably believes that the action he or she is about to take is in defense of human life. This takes us back to the burning house. Regardless of what is fair, the police are quick to pull the trigger and get away with it. Let's come up with a pro-life strategy that protects our children and pushes our community to change those images and behaviors so we don't always get left out and let down. Now, I have to say, and again, y'all could jump in at any time. We can take our time. But seems to me that she's victim blaming a lot in this article. She starts out correctly by identifying the burning house being the violent rebellions. And I don't say that as a negative. I don't say that I'm like Malcolm X by any means necessary. All right. You can't keep stepping on somebody's neck countless times and keep abusing them and not expect the victim to strike back. Okay. So, you know, this does seem like she's doing some victim blaming and she's buying into while pointing out the narrative. She's also agreeing with the narrative. We need to change our behavior. We need to change those images. That's victim blaming, in my opinion. And she got away from the premise of what Dr. King was talking about. What did Dr. King never condemned any protesters? Let me pull up his quote on protesting. Let me see. Dr. King on violent protests. He never condemned those people. All right. Let me see if I can find that where he talks about, it's not coming up, not finding it right away, but let me just paraphrase what he said. He said, okay, I know how to find it. Dr. King, Language of the Oppressed. You know, Google could be hiding this, could be suppressing what I'm looking for. I don't put nothing past them, okay? Let me pull that up for you. A riot is the language of the unheard. Okay, so let me pull up one of these articles, see if I can get the full quote. This one is talking about Baltimore. Again, we even had celebrity figureheads coming out condemning the people in Baltimore. After Trayvon Martin, we had celebrity figurehead Obama say we're a nation of law and order. Remember, I was reading what Dr. King said about the failure of the white moderate, who's more concerned about order than he is about justice? That's because Barack Obama has integrated himself or assimilated himself into the system. He didn't go up in there to be the change you've been waiting for. He was put in there to pacify you, and for 4 years he did that very thing. Not all of us, but a vast majority of the so-called respectable Negro who failed to call out Obama on anything and then got the nerve to try to call out Trump. You were warned. If you don't call out Obama when you go to call out Trump on these very same things, these right-wingers gonna throw it up in your face. You wasn't concerned about Barack Obama arming the police with these military-grade weapons. You wasn't concerned about Barack Obama sending drones to the homes of innocent people, killing kids, women, and old people. You weren't concerned about it. Hypocrisy, the height of hypocrisy. Where is the full quote? Where is the full quote? Where is the full quote? All right, is this the full quote? I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in a position of having these reoccurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantees of riot prevention. That was Dr. King. That's that radical Dr. King that they don't want you to hear about. This is what he was talking about. One of the things, the burning house, is America on fire. I'm reminded of what H. Rap Brown said, and they even passed a law to criminalize his language on the radio, in terrestrial radio. He said, burn, baby, burn. I'm also reminded of Robert F. Williams when he was prosecuted for kidnapping a white couple whose life he actually saved in Monroe, North Carolina, to the point he had to take his family and flee the country. But when he went to Cuba, Castro gave him access to a radio station to broadcast Radio Free Dixie. And on that radio broadcast, he told the oppressed to burn it down. This is history. This is documented. This is documented history. But what do the respectable Negroes of today tell us? Oh, Dr. King wouldn't want y'all to do that. Dr. King's mission was nonviolence. That ain't what Dr. King said. Dr. King said a riot is a language of the unheard. But then we got people like a so-called progressive named Nina Turner giving speeches telling you that a tactic was Dr. King's mission. How can nonviolence be a mission? Nonviolence was the tactic that he adopted at the beginning of his movement of civil disobedience to protest against taxation without representation, to protest against the lack of respect for black humanity in this country, to protest against white terrorism and systemic racism and disenfranchisement and poverty. Does someone want to chime in? Please do so.
Yes, peace and love, Scotty. Thanks for taking my call again. What you're describing is something I've talked about before, and I just want to define it. In case people, because not many people have heard that this term very often. You might have heard it because you're one of my elders, and of course you're in the military. But what you're describing as far as Barack Obama, what's the other one? The one that you were just talking about? Oh my gosh, he was with my
John Lewis.
Yeah, John Lewis. All of these people. You're describing a fifth column. And I've talked about fifth columnists. So a fifth column is any group of people who undermine a larger group from within, usually in favor of an enemy group or nation. The activities of a fifth column can be overt or clandestine. So all a fifth column is a group of people who are able to thwart a small group of people that are able to thwart the machinations of a larger group of people towards a goal that they're working towards. So Barack Obama was the ultimate fifth columnist. John Lewis, fifth columnist. I just feel personally a lot of the stuff that I've seen as far as just the arguments between different black people, especially the YouTubers.
Ross,
yeah?
You might as well just say the Congressional Black Caucus in its entirety since Cynthia McKinney isn't part of it anymore.
Absolutely. When you look at, and for the young folks, like there's a lot of misinformation on YouTube. You got the flat earth, and I don't have a problem. I don't even want to discuss the veracity of that or not. I'm just discussing the fact that it's taking large segments of our people away from focusing on the problem. And if you just heard my definition of a fifth columnist, when you see all these groups and individuals that are taking our focus off the real problem, they could be doing it because they sincerely think it's something honest that they're trying to do, or they could be a fifth columnist. And you always want to be aware of anything that is distracting you from the larger goal of solving the problem of this system of white supremacy. And that's what I'm seeing more and more of in the most refined ways possible. When you go on YouTube, you'll see some of these people who are putting out this information where hundreds of thousands of followers, it's almost like a cult following, and when you read the comments, it's almost like a religion. Anybody who's not saying the stuff that that person in the video is saying, or they disagree with something that they put in the video, they have these groups that just mob you in the comment section. And it's just, I'm just seeing the most refined forms of masses of our people being distracted more than anything else. And as much as we tout Google and all of these places to search for information, yes, you can find information. But the thing with Google is you can find information that will say anything you want it to say. And when you talk about vetting information and stuff, that is the most important part. Because if you're not, then ultimately, if you have a thought or idea, no matter how erroneous it is, you can plug that in Google and it'll give you whatever it is you're looking for. And too many of us actually tend to do that. And like you said, I think it was yesterday, you know, sometimes even when you do your due diligence and you might go through multiple sources as far as finding information and you think it's authentic, you still find out it's fake news. I remember I put up the article about 50 Cent having like $8 million in Bitcoin. And I have checked from like multiple sources that were totally different, and they didn't say the exact same thing. That's one thing you look for, is if the verbiage is exactly the same, then usually, like if you see CNN and MSNBC, let's say for example, they'll have the exact same article and they'll just refer to the original, say, the original source is Associated Press. So when you see that the words are identical, that's a sign that it was something probably the CIA gave to these people, and everybody's putting out the same thing.
That elder sister, I think it's Kyla Nyusha, I can't pronounce the name. I interviewed her years ago. I hope she's still alive, because she is definitely in her 70s now. But she worked at a black radio station where she said in my interview that they would get the press releases directly from the FBI and read them word for word.
Absolutely. I remember when Asada Shakur was on the run, they had all kind of erroneous press releases and wanted signs they were posting all over the country. And when you read her autobiography, she says it. I looked at some of these pictures, and these people were not me. They just wanted her name out there. And you know, Malcolm said it. They can make people, you know, look like as horribly as they want, or make them look as good as they want, no matter who they are, as long as they're using the propaganda and they're able to successfully do it, because the system has complete control over all of this stuff. So it's really, really serious as far, and like I said, with me, I went to like three different sources. I remember posting multiple articles about this, including cryptocurrency articles from like reputable cryptocurrency sites, and they were all saying this thing about 50 Cent, and I think it was Brother Ose who had posted that was incorrect. And I thought about that. I was like, yeah, exactly. You can still do your due diligence and still have fake news be fake news. So when you talk about vetting stuff, it's absolutely correct. That's why I always talk about reading books, like actual text over the internet, because the text don't change in paper form. If it's a digital text, you can always change it. If it's an audio book, you can always change it. If it's a hard text, they have to reprint a new edition, then they'll say second, third, fourth, whatever edition it is, and you'll be able, if you read the first edition, you can see what they added between the first and, let's say, the third edition. And also, you can vet the books you read just by going through the bibliography. Go look up the books that they have used to do their research and start looking through them, and you'll be able to probably gather even more information. These are some of the techniques that I use when I do my research. When I do research online, sometimes I'll find five different sources speaking on the same subject. And I try to get a lot of stuff that's in, like, from as far away from the regular media as I can do it. And every now and then you'll find a Fox News article or MSNBC. And even when I find those, I'll actually still look for other articles on the same subject from reputable companies before I actually tend to post those. But every now and then I'll do that. So, yeah, I think what you're talking about is very powerful, and you're really speaking about fifth columnists. And we just have to be as conscious of that as possible, because the ways of facilitating fifth columnists are wide and varied with the advent of social media and the internet. Whereas when you know, Minister Malcolm and Dr. King were alive, they had, you know, paper flyers and the radio and printed media and the television. So now it's so much more intricate. There's a lot more to be aware of, and to that should force you to do a little bit more research whenever you're looking at or looking for information on any sort of subject in particular. So, yeah, with that, I'll mute my line. But you're talking about fifth columnist, and that's actually a great codified name for Obama, the fifth columnist. Like, because I think he's really gotten into the psychology, especially the psychology of symbolic thought.
Idolatry is what I call it.
That's another great way of doing it too, saying it too. Because, you know, symbolic thought and idolatry is basically the same thing, just said in different terms. And I agree, because so many of us were fooled. And I remember people looked at me like I had 10 heads when I said he's not going to do anything for us. And then that was from day one. I didn't vote for him either. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, he's not going to do nothing for us. And they thought I was crazy. And now that he's out of office, some of our folks have come to that understanding that, hey, he hasn't done anything for us. When you look, you know, when you really take a look back, he's done more to help white folks, and he's done more to help homosexuals than he's done for anything for black people.
And Wall
and
Street.
That, I'm losing the line.
And Wall Street.
Wall Street too. You're absolutely right. Let the criminals run roughshod and get away with it, pretty much. And also, I wanted to say peace to Max, and just give him my condolences in regards to the loss of his mom. Just send my love, and I've been sending them vibes his way ever since I found out. So I just wanted to just say that too before I mute myself. Thank you.
You're welcome. The quote that Ross was talking about from Malcolm X is, And this is the founding. I founded Black Talk Media Project on this quote. All right. The media is the most powerful entity on the earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's power because they control the minds of the masses. Then there was another video of him talking about the power of the media. And it actually, the first thing that comes up is a YouTube video that I posted to Black Talk Radio's channel. Let me play that for you just to speak to, again, the power of the media.
So instead of legislation, in my opinion, it takes education. The whites have to be re-educated so that the racism that they have in their heart can be eliminated, and the and our people have to be re-educated so that we will know how to do something for ourselves instead of waiting for others to do it for us all the time.
Well, how will that re-education be brought about?
Well, just as in World War II, this country could use its news media to propagandize and make the whole American public love the Germans and the Japanese, rather love the Russians and the Chinese and hate the Germans and the Japanese. And then after the war, they changed it and made the American public love the Germans and love the Japanese, hate the Russians and hate the Chinese, which shows that they can make the American public love whom they will and hate whom they will. And that same process can be used to re-educate the American public and show white people how to love black people and show black people how to do something to stand on our own feet and solve our own problems.
So that's Malcolm X talking about the power of programming. They don't call it television programming for no reason. They don't call it radio programming for no reason. It's a program, just like a computer. We were talking about robots and programming a robot with artificial intelligence to do this, that, or the other. That is what Malcolm X was talking about. And that really opened up my eyes. I came across it in 2008, and I was like, this is what I want to do. If the media is the most powerful entity on the planet, then we need to harness our own power using our own media. Because that...
Hey, Sonny.
Yes.
I'm sorry for interjecting, but you made me think of something. Earlier this afternoon, Jenna and I were having a conversation, and he brought up something that I thought was quite profound based on this actual discussion about media. He said to me, do you think that Dr. King and or Malcolm X, if they were alive in today's world with all of this social media and the way that they use social media to vilify people, would they be the legendary leaders that they were known to be because of the time they were born, had they been born now? And I said, actually, probably not. They would have ruined their reputation so bad. They would have ruined, I mean, the whole Detroit Red thing would have been splashed everywhere, and no one would have listened to a darn thing he had to say. Dr. King would have been touted as a womanizer and every other name they could think of. They'll probably find, if the FBI truly had these tapes, which they say they did, they would have put those tapes on the internet and had them play for everybody, and no one would have listened to anything he had to say if they were alive today. That was my opinion, and he agreed with me.
I kind of agree with that, too. We would hope not, but based off of the evidence we see now and the way they have assassinated people's character and just the whole Russian narrative, that fake Russian interference narrative. Yes, I agree with that assessment.
Okay, I just wanted to toss that out there because I was just like, the way things are, and especially just with how gullible just people in general, but especially us black people, because as victims we have access to the most low quality information because we're the ones they're trying to dominate, and we tend to latch on to everything that we see the masses of white people latch on to. They're the barometer for what we follow in a lot of ways as far as a collective people. So as a result, I you know, that was my assessment of it, and I just wanted to toss it out there, and I'm glad that you were able to see and understand where I was coming from with that, because I really don't think they would be the people that we know them to be and love them to be in today's day and age. They would have just been lost in the sauce with a whole bunch of other people, and they would have used any mistakes that they made to completely lambast them and put them in a position where they will be completely ineffective as far as reaching the masses of people. And that kind of takes me back to what I was saying about the fifth columnist and just all of these different people that are being propagated on different social media sites, on different TV shows, on YouTube and all of this stuff. And these things are taking our attention away from the real problem. And if you look at the Roman Colosseum, that's what it was for. When they wanted to do things without the Roman people being in the know, they would have the Colosseum fights with the gladiators fighting lions and them killing each other all day. And while the people were caught up in that, they were doing things politically to dominate and control them in ways that they weren't aware of until it's too late. And to me, that's what the social media is. That's just what the modern television situation is. That's what the so-called black conscious wars that are taking place on YouTube. All of that stuff is all gladiator fodder to take our attention off solving the problem. Thank you. I'll mute my line.
Right. And to that, you know, speaking to what you're talking about, I posted some responses I made to fifth columnists, black fifth columnists, like that are showcased by the mainstream media. So, listen, what I'm about to say now is not a defense of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a Zionist. He supports Zionist Israel. He even voted to arm Israel to slaughter Palestinians. So I'm not naive when it comes to Bernie Sanders. But with that said, some of the policy positions that he took during 2016 would have absolutely benefited black people. The free college universities, public colleges and universities being tuition free. Still got to pay for your books and whatnot, but tuition free since your tax dollars are already going towards these institutions to begin with. That would benefit black and poor people the most. He was for that. I even heard black people on this network, on one particular show, I'm not going to say any names, but some of the guests on those shows were saying things like, because they were all supporting the racist super predator by the name of Hillary Clinton, and saying when she was shooting down and the Democratic machine was shooting down his proposal for free tuition at public colleges and universities, I'm hearing black people saying, oh, black people just want something for free. We always want to beg for this and beg for that. All right. But Dr. King, and I'm going to play this clip for you right now, what Dr. King was telling you, okay? Let me read what I wrote. The DNC primary between Clinton and Sanders exposed just how a majority of black voters spoke out against policies like free college education, which was given to white people all the way up to the 60s and in some places during the 70s and 80s. Obama was also against reparations, something that King was for. Let me play this clip for you.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
He's talking about reparations there, okay? But just think of that. Here's Dr. King telling people, the very people who want to misuse and abuse his name and misrepresent his policies, during the 2016 campaign, telling black folks not to support Bernie Sanders' position of free tuition for colleges and universities, telling us we begging, okay? Telling us we just want something for free. I heard this from so-called educated black people on this very network, on one of the programs. Some of their guests were pushing this, and it wasn't just on their program. It was all over social media. These people were being programmed with these talking points by the Clinton campaign. I mean, that's like getting you to practice racism against yourself. That's the burning house of immorality. Here it is, black former victims of slavery, known as the Buffalo Soldiers, risked their lives in the U.S. Cavalry. Unfortunately, you know, but again, we have to look at things in the context of what they was dealing with. They, just like me, saw the military as the only way to rise above the institutional racism and lack of opportunity, so they joined the military. They were already in the military from putting down these Confederates. We freed ourselves. We'd be living in the CSA if it was not for those black soldiers. But then they were used to attack non-white people, native people, aborigine people, and clear the Midwest in the West for these white peasants that Dr. King is talking about. And you want to say we want something for free? The only reason you got what you got is because of us. Same is true with the American Revolution. They were losing until they finally allowed black people to get into it. Now, I don't want to get off track and discuss the psychology of why would you side with the colonists over the British when the British are the one. They still white supremacists, but at least they was offering you freedom if you helped them put down these colonists, just like you put down these slavers in the South. But the West was won not, well, by the gun. You often hear the West was won by the gun, but that gun was in the hands of Buffalo soldiers. Okay? So how can you then say, we want something for free? Ain't we paid enough for it? Haven't our ancestors paid enough in blood for it? Blood, sweat, and tears? Haven't we risked our lives for this nation? If you ask me, we should be exempt from paying taxes. We paid enough already. But getting back to the fifth columnist, as Ross brought up, a couple of them on Twitter, showcased by mainstream media, got the little blue check mark by their name on Twitter. Bernie Sanders said something very true about Barack Obama. The context in which he was speaking was that Barack Obama was a poor leader, that the Democrats lost hundreds of seats because Barack Obama wasn't sharing his fundraising capabilities down the ballot with state parties. And Hillary Clinton did the same thing. All that money she was raising was going into her campaign, and she wasn't helping the state Democrats running for federal office or state office, not sharing that revenue with them so that they could pay for political ads and stuff like that. So he was saying that the only thing Barack Obama had going for him was he was a charismatic leader. Now, I just talked about that the other day in terms of these prosperity preachers who get their congregants involved in scams, and people fall for it because they put blind faith into a person who is charismatic. And then you get taken advantage of. So he was actually correct. But you had a whole bunch of black people saying, oh, how dare, Look at all these black people in Mississippi who applauded him when he said that about Barack Obama on the 50th anniversary, not anniversary, but the 50th commemoration of the assassination of Dr. King. Again, trying to equate a violent president, a violent CEO of USA Inc. with Dr. King. See the mind games they playing there. This man ain't walked in the footsteps of Dr. King, but you had, here's Kirsten West Savalle. Say it ain't so. You mean to tell me that black people in Mississippi didn't boo him off the stage and put a root on him like some would have us believe? I'm shocked. I tell you, shocked. And my response to Kirsten West Savalle, Obama was not different than any of the other presidents who covered up crimes of the state, did nothing to address institutional racism or in reducing the prison population. The only things his fanatics can cite is Obamacare, which is an insurance scam giveaway to corporations. Name something else among his accomplishments that's positive for all people, and then specifically for the people who put them in office. Black people, black voters. Another fifth columnist, Bakari Sellers, said, y'all can defend Bernie all you want on MLK 50. His lack of self-awareness and arrogance in dismissing 44 is wild. And my response to Mr. Sellers, and you can defend Clinton and Obama for turning Libya into a huge slave market because they supported terrorists to overthrow the most progressive and prosperous nation in Africa all you want. MLK would have been speaking out against Obama's war machine and his covering up of torture. That's your fifth columnist whose job is to integrate you into a burning house of immorality. Did somebody else have a comment that they wanted to make?
I just wanted to, if you would allow me to read something briefly, because I think it's
sure, go ahead, article, Ross.
Okay, it's one of my favorite ones I've, and I found this when I was like in my late teens, early 20s, and it's something that it stuck with me because of how powerful what it says is. So it's called How to Control People, and I posted it on BTR Community as well. I posted it in a thread on Tando and in another thread too by Charlie Reese. And it says, the difference between true education and vocational training has been cleverly blurred. There are a few tips on how smart people can control other people. If any of this rings a bell, well, then wake up. The first principle of people control is not to let them know you are controlling them. If people knew, this knowledge will breed resentment and possibly rebellion, which would then require brute force and terror, an old-fashioned, expensive, and not 100% certain method of control. It is easier than you think to control people indirectly, to manipulate them into thinking what you want them to think and doing what you want them to do. One basic technique is to keep them ignorant. Educated people are not as easy to manipulate. Abolishing public education or restricting access to education would be the direct approach. That would spill the beans. The indirect approach is to control the education they receive. It is possible to be a PhD, doctor, lawyer, businessman, journalist, or an accountant, just to name a few examples, and at the same time be an uneducated person. The difference between true education and vocational training has been cleverly blurred in our time so that we have people successfully practicing their vocations while at the same time being totally ignorant of the larger issues of the world in which they live. The obvious symptom of their absence of original thought, ask them a question and they'll end up reciting what someone else thinks or thought the answer was. What do they think? Well, they never thought about it. Their education consisted of learning how to use the library and cite sources. That's now, to me, that's reminiscent of the internet and Google today. That greatly simplifies things for the controller, because with lots of money, university endowments, foundation grants, and ownership of media, it is relatively easy to control who they will think of as authorities to cite in lieu of doing their own thinking. You talked about this not too long ago, Scotty. Another technique is to keep them entertained. Roman emperors did not stage circuses and gladiator contests because they didn't have television. We have television because we don't have circuses and gladiator events. Either way, the purpose is to keep the people's minds focused on entertainment, sports, and peripheral political issues. This way you won't have to worry that they will ever figure out the real issues that allow you to control them. Just as a truly educated person is difficult to control, so too is an economically independent person. Dave talks about that. Therefore, you want to create conditions that will produce people who work for wages, since wage earners have little control over their economic destiny. You'll also want to control the monetary, credit, and banking systems. This will allow you to inflate the currency and make it next to impossible for wage earners to accumulate capital. You can also cause periodic deflation to collapse the family businesses, family farms, and entrepreneurs, including independent community banks. To keep trade unions under control, you just promote a scheme that allows you to shift production jobs out of the country and bring back the products as imports. It's called free trade. This way, you will end up with no unions or docile unions. Another technique is to buy both political parties so that after a while people will feel that no matter whether they vote for candidate A or candidate B, they'll get the same policies. This will create great apathy and a belief that the political process is useless for effecting real change. Pretty soon you'll have a population that feels completely helpless and thinks the bad things happening to them are nobody in particular's fault, just a result of global forces or evolution or some other disembodied abstract concept. If necessary, you can offer scapegoats. Then you can bleed them dry without having to worry overly much that one of them will sneak into your house one night and cut your throat. If you do it right, they won't even know whose throat they're cutting. That's the end.
Wow.
Powerful. I found that at about 19, I believe, if I remember correctly. And I saved it. I'm now 44. I've saved it all this time. I actually cited a section of that in a piece that I wrote on education that Sister Pam, that's on the Cows, regularly put on her website. And it's been one of my top articles of all my life because of exactly what I just read to you. It just lays out the world that we live in and have been living in ever since we encountered these subhuman beings that we call colonizers. Thank you so much for letting me read that, brother. I'll mute myself.
One of the other things I want to speak on is, I want to hear from Dr. King. I got a clip from Roland S. Martin. But the timing when this was published after Obama was out of office. You didn't hear black showcase people calling out the violence of the U.S. government when Barack Obama. So again, this isn't to attack Obama. This is to perhaps get us as a collective, the black collective, to do some self-reflection and realize that we are the prophetic people that Dr. King spoke about when he feared us being integrated into a burning house. Again, he was not speaking out against integration, which simply means that if I'm paying taxes, I ought to be able to participate fully in this system that I am financially supporting, not only with my tax dollars, but with my body when you draft me or I volunteer to go off and fight your wars while war is being waged against me right here at home. Okay? But Dr. King realized how he gonna tell people to be nonviolent in their protest. And again, he moved away from that when he started saying the riot is the voice of the unheard, and gave you the reasons because of injustice. And he talked about that in the context of the burning house of injustice. All right. But he said, I cannot speak out against violence without calling out my own government. And I remember during Reagan administration, I remember during the Bush administration, the first Bush, then the second Bush, Bill Clinton sandwiched in between. I was in the military. I actually was within the military in 1987. Reagan was still in office. I was only 20 years old with a lot to learn. And how the so-called left was so against these wars, except for one of their guys is in office. That's what the scripture talks about. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That means that you on the fence. You ain't took no position on nothing. You have not taken a principal position. The things that you call out as evil are you're calling good when your guy or who you think is your guy is in office. So I'm going to play this 5-minute clip from Roland Martin highlighting Dr. King speaking out against the violence of the state, which Barack Obama's administration surely escalated in many ways. But I wonder why Roland Martin wasn't talking about the violence of the state when Obama was in office. Let me play the roller clip.
Here, Dr. King points out the obvious conflict with his very own nonviolent movement at home, while the U.S. government perpetuates violence in the Vietnam War. Joining us via FaceTime to discuss is the senior minister at the very church where Dr. King delivered this powerful speech. Welcome, Reverend Dr. Amy Butler of Riverside Church in New York.
Thank you.
So glad that you are with us. Still on our panel, we have Greg Carr, Brandon Cooper, Avis Jones-DeWeaver, and Kim Kanan. First, going to you, Dr. Butler, what is it like to be at just right now at the helm of leadership in a place where so much history took place?
Well, you can't step into the pulpit every Sunday morning without feeling the witness of those who have gone before you. Surely that Riverside Church is a place where so many have called for justice and peace. And this call is even more important now than perhaps ever before.
What is it like on a Sunday, I would say? Do you have a mix of people who were coming because Dr. King was once there and the people who are just part of the regular parishioners? How much of your audience is people who are trying to get a snippet of history?
Well, I think no one can step into the nave of the Riverside Church without being, you know, aware of these voices who have come before and have called for justice. But I just saw Dr. Barber on your show. He was with us on Sunday. We want our pulpit to be a living pulpit where we raise up voices of those who have gone before, but also raise our own voices to speak to the matters of our own time.
And that's one of the things that Dr. King's speech, I know you know, talked about. It talked about the fact that our very own government has been a purveyor of violence and how hard it is to tell young people on the street to not do violent acts when they're watching what's happening in our government. What is that friction like, and what can we do about it?
Well, some people say that religion and politics shouldn't mix, but if you're not being political in your pulpit, then something is wrong, because the mandates of our faith speak to the violence in our society, but also being perpetrated by our government. I mean, Dr. King was very concerned that, you know, our government was especially exploiting young black men, sending them to Vietnam to perpetrate violence in the name of the United States government and coming back to become victims of violence and racism in our own system. And that systemic racism continues in our country, and we have to speak out.
Absolutely right. Dr. Carr, we're looking at young black males who are still disproportionately serving in the military or being sent to jail or dying on the streets. Not a lot left in between.
No, I mean, when King spoke to these young brothers and sisters in the wake of the long, hot summers of 66 and 67, they looked at him and said, you know, they're sending my family to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some ways, that may be why young people have turned many from the church. I mean, you know, when you take a stand, you have to be prepared not only to suffer consequences, but what you will also do is inspire people of common goodwill to join you. Maybe if our churches took these types of political stands, they might see more young people in those pews on Sunday morning.
That's a good point.
Avis.
Absolutely. And I also fear that with this psychopath in chief in office, that he is really moving us towards a new war, a new escalation in violence. And so now more than ever, we really need to be active in order to let our representative know that, no, we will not stand for this. To me, that's the only thing that he could really do, frankly, to sort of save his presidency, to incite some sort of violence to get people to rally around him in spite of his total incompetence.
How can we speak to the legislature, Brandon?
Brandon?
Yeah, I'll say two things. It was the previous president that really escalated the war as well. Don't forget that. You know, increasing bombings in Somalia and Yemen.
Look,
can I not be interrupted? I always try to speak. I'll be real quick.
Titan right.
If we can talk about it, I always get interrupted. I love
30 seconds.
Yes. 30 seconds. Thank you. You like to cherry pick Dr. King's words, one word that I like to reflect on that has not been talked about today. He said that the GOP is not the party of the God Almighty, neither does the Democrat Party. They both have weaknesses, and that he was not bound to either party.
That's right.
And so even Dr. Carr said earlier, this issue goes beyond politics. And I hate that sometimes it goes and always is Republican, Democrat. It's not about that. I side with Rand Paul. I know you don't like him on some issues, but I side with him on foreign policy. There's definitely things we can do to pull back our foreign policy and invest some more in our country.
Yeah. Well, you know, John F. Kennedy is cited in this speech, too, and people don't remember that. Yes. But he said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this comes down to. This violence begets violence. And we're talking about, you know, killing everybody we can and because America's first. But we're not thinking about the fact that that's going to beget more of it. And what we need to be doing is working on if we get our stuff right, it'll be right everywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. Thank you so much, Reverend Dr. Amy Butler, for joining us.
A peaceful protest turned deadly. 37-year-old black man was shot and killed by Baton Rouge police. His hands are in the air, and you still get shot by the cops.
Oh, my God, please don't tell me.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. Now, this was published, and y'all know Roland don't have his show no more. And I have my issues with Roland, but at the same time, you know, we're not going to be in 100% agreement with everyone on everything. But his was one of the few shows that did speak out consistently on the issues of states sponsored violence against us within this colony, behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. But I'm going to tell you, they were talking about Donald Trump. This was published last year. They were talking about Donald Trump. Now, think about Donald Trump saying we need to pull our troops out of Syria, and then these very same Democrats, these so-called left-leaning people, are saying that Donald Trump's making us weaker, and he's gonna allow terrorists to do this, that, and the other. Where were these people calling out Obama during his presidency when he lied along with other members of his administration, saying that Gaddafi was killing his own people, when in fact the CIA and the State Department with Hillary Clinton at the helm were arming, coordinating with, and helping these terrorists to foment unrest in Libya, to help them overthrow Libya, because Gaddafi wanted a united African currency backed by the gold dinar, which would undermine the U.S. dollar and the French franc, with the U.S. and France being the main participants in that unjust murder of a nation, which now has open slave markets. And again, The shame. Some people, they know no shame, though. One of Dr. King's own children on the 50th anniversary on the March of Washington while Libya was going on being bombed into the Stone Ages stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and said, "Let freedom ring in Libya," with Obama sitting off to the side clapping. Where were these people? Where was your morality? Where was your outrage? Where was your speaking out against war then? When he started arming those terrorists in Syria and pushing through on a long-standing policy in the United States before he even thought about running for president of overthrowing Libya. Where was these people then? Why weren't these people telling him to pull? It's time to bring the troops home out of Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and other parts of Africa where the U.S. has a presence. Where were these people? This is hypocrisy. It's easy to point the finger at Donald Trump. But what was the alternative you were saying that black people should support? Hillary Clinton. who broke U.S. law when she stood in Tripoli after the terrorists had secured that area and said, we can't wait till you capture or kill him. And I'm thinking about here, Obama is held up as this great diplomat. That man wasn't no diplomat. Gaddafi wrote him a letter referring to him as a son of Africa and saying, don't believe these reports. We're not killing our own people. We're putting down terrorists. My son, let us talk. Obama ignored it and continued with the mission of destroying Libya. So that's what I'm saying to you today. This isn't necessarily a personal attack on Barack Obama. It's just a statement of truth. It's a statement of fact that we got a bunch of hypocrites among us, a bunch of fifth columnists, as Ross has stated, that we are the very embodiment collectively of what Dr. King feared of us integrating into a burning house, meaning we have become part and parcel to the colonization of the rest of the planet.
Hey, Scotty.
Yes.
Hey, peace and love. Yeah, man, it makes me think, because even when I've been having the discussions on our show as well as off the air about misinformation and how dangerous it is, we've become so anesthetized to black death, we really have, that the vast majority of us, in my opinion, do not understand that we're dealing with life and death circumstances on a daily basis. It's touted to us as news and social media and all the other things that sound innocuous. But when you put all the stuff that we've been talking about tonight in proper perspective, this is deadly. This is the way you condition people psychologically and socially to be the advents of their own destruction, and the real perpetrators of the destruction of those people, because they've been oppressed for so long, they can't even see clear enough to understand that they're destroying themselves. And then, like you said, the fifth columnists know exactly what they're doing, because they're being paid off by the enemy to be the fifth columnists that they are. And for us that are trying to fight the system, we have to understand that we're dealing with life and death, genocide, mass genocide of our people. And when you start thinking with that kind of emergency, when you look at white people, that's how they think all the time. I don't call Dr. Wilson's theory a theory. I think it's proven time and time again when it comes to the concept of white genetic annihilation and their constant fear and just thoughts and words, deeds, and actions that will let you know in no uncertain terms that they are always on the genetic annihilation understanding at all times, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't do that. We think that it's going to be okay, and, you know, somehow they're going to get a moral conscience. I mean, even Dr. King said that they were morally bankrupt. We're dealing with morally bankrupt people, and the vast majority of our people trust morally bankrupt colonizers.
We have become morally bankrupt ourselves.
You finished my last thought. I was going to say, that's the whole thing. We've become so assimilated to the system that we look past the injustice of these people and become active participants. And I remember years ago when this is probably in the 80s and early 90s with the whole terrorism thing. And even terrorists at that time were basically saying they ain't have problems with black Americans, because we being abused like they are. Now, they'll take you out wherever they see you, because, like Scotty just said, we are in bed with the enemy, perpetrating the enemy's violence for him, as what I have said in the past, as automatons of white supremacy, robots. Black robots of white supremacy. And like I said, sadly, some of these folks don't understand what they're doing. They're young, they're impressionable, and we've been sold to think that education is the way out, and if you could get that GI Bill, it'll help you. So for those people, those young people, I feel for them. For the other ones who know exactly what they're doing and don't care, whole nother story, man. I'm not being anti-black. I'm just saying, either you're a part of the solution or you're a part of the problem, regardless of what you look like.
Thank it's you, not brother. That you're being anti-black, it's that you're being pro-justice.
That's the only way to be, because I mean, without justice, there's nothing else. There really is nothing. What's the purpose of being alive if you're in a world that is unjust? It just is. There's no purpose to your life if you're not trying to make things better and end that. Because really, life doesn't have to be this way. I've said this 1,000 times. We do not have to live the way that we live. We don't have to deal with the stuff that we deal with. It's because not enough of us understand the system that we're dealing with, and not enough of us are willing to attempt to do something about it. But things don't have to be this way. The first time in the history of cinema where black people got an inkling that things didn't have to be the way that it is was the Black Panther. Say what you want about it, but that's one thing that a lot of people got from that film. Wow, a film that shows us as autonomous beings doing what we need to do and successfully being able to thwart the system of white supremacy in this one hidden country. And we were able to do that? Really? In a film? That was never done. That reminds me of The Spook Who Sat by the Door. Sam Greenlee was put through pure hell after he made that film. My son interviewed him at 13 years old.
Yeah, and they also restricted the showings of that film.
Yes, they did. And one of my friends from Detroit actually told me where he was. They only showed it for 2 days and took it out the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Completely removed it from
because,
the movie theater.
Because they know what Malcolm X knew, the power of media.
Exactly. And if you think about what he did in the film, that was Geronimo Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
What did Geronimo do when he returned from Vietnam? He taught the Black Panthers what he learned in the military. And I remember there was a famous raid in Los Angeles where they had a shootout with the police, and the survivors, the Black Panthers that survived, actually said it was the tactics that Geronimo Jijaga Pratt taught them that saved their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's the living example of what The Spook Who Sat by the Door looked like. The Black Panther is a dreamt up version. A black person wrote the film, but it's still a dreamt up version of something that could actually be if we work towards it.
Right.
This isn't just lofty dreaming. This, how do things change? People first have, like you said earlier in the program, you have to have an idea, a vision, something. There has to be a need. The need generates a thought, an idea. The idea generates an invention. Everything that you see in this visible physical world, what is known as the phenomenal plane, the plane where things exist, before they come into existence, they come from the world of the unseen, which is known as the noumenal plane. That's why in Kemetic culture, there's no such thing as no things, because even in a state of no things, there is something, and that thing is the deity. We call it consciousness. So from that consciousness, everything else spins off and creates the reality we see. From the world of the unseen, burst into the world of the seen. There had to be a need for a chair for someone to invent a chair. There had to be a need for a toothbrush for someone to invent a toothbrush. There's a great documentary called The Extraordinary Something of Everyday Things. I'm forgetting. They had it on National Geographic, where they give the history of everyday items that we take for granted and how these things were protected under the threat of death. Things like mirrors, something as simple as a mirror. Coffee. They talk about coffee being invented in Ethiopia. It's the sacred national drink of Ethiopia. And they used to keep those coffee plants protected by armed guards 24 hours a day. And how coffee got to the rest of the world was a white man, if I remember correctly, an Italian, went to Ethiopia and smuggled 3 plants out of the country, almost lost his life doing so. And he took those plants to Italy and started cultivating coffee for the first time outside of the African continent. That's why it's called Arabica, because all of that area you call Yemen and Saudi Arabia and all of that, that was all part of the Ethiopian Empire.
Right.
So yeah, we just got to just put our focus on the right things, and let's really be conscientious and conscious about fifth columnists. Anything, any person, any program that is diverting your attention from solving the problem is a fifth columnist in your personal life. Exorcise those things so we can focus with needlepoint focus on solving the problem. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Ross. I think Otis wanted to chime in. Otis, I'm going to let you have the last word as we get ready to shut things down. We're approaching 3 hours now. But, Otis, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Good evening, gentlemen. I just wanted to add to it because you brought up, and he brought up the fifth column, and I want to bring it back to some more current history. I think I've mentioned several times in talking on your show, the very first time I saw Barack Obama was on national TV. I came in to have lunch, and he was being presented on the Oprah show. From then on, I've had a constant battle with my family because my training taught me when he came on the scene, he was presented by Oprah. I said, he's no good. I started doing the research on him, and months and months on, as he was still running in the primary, just this junior senator, I kept saying to them, I know enough about history to tell you this. Oprah would never have brought that black man on national TV in prime time when the majority of her audience is a white female audience unless it had been sanctioned by the people who pay her. And if you look in your chat room, I put a couple of quotes on there to show you what I'm talking about. I first heard her say it on her program, I think he's the one. She even went on to say that she had never publicly spoken on behalf of anybody in politics. And that's when I said then, she would never have risked her fortune if he had not been sanctioned by the system. Never. And she introduced him to white women. He got good applause. Her show got great ratings. And from then on, I published article after article showing where that man never intended to do anything for black people. As a matter of fact, I even go so far as to tell you, I even dug up to find out that his original financer was a lady named Penny Prixer, who was associated with Superior Bank in Chicago that had robbed black people with predatory loans. And at the time that Bill Clinton was in office, her bank had to pay a $450 million fine. It was the largest one ever for predatory lending, right there in the same Hyde Park area where Michelle then grew up in. For years, that bank had been stealing from the black population there. And to show you how bad it is, how money is, even now, her brother is running for governor and still got black people supporting him over other black candidates that are better. And I say to you, when he talks about a fifth column, some of these people know what they're doing, but they're greedy. When you say they have no moral compass, a lot of our people on every level are that way. They are so bent on wanting to assimilate into American culture instead of integrate. An integrated system only means that the parts work to do what they're supposed to do, and they stay out of the way of each other. They collaborate when they want to. I learned that sitting underground at a Titan II missile silo, having to monitor one of the biggest nuclear warheads in the world at the time. There's nothing wrong with the word integration. The word assimilation is what's wrong with our people. We want to be white. And I've learned that when you have an oppressor, one of the main things they use to keep you in control is a belief in etiquette and protocol, not wanting to disrupt. You will never, ever gain any semblance of freedom if you're not willing to be disruptive. You have to inconvenience them, which means you too have to be inconvenienced. Our people don't want that. They want liberation and a semblance of freedom, but they don't want it to be inconvenient. Convenient. It can't be convenient. Those two can't exist. But you've had a really great show tonight, and I appreciate you, everything you do, man. Give you all the support I can.
All right. Thank you for that, Otis. All right. I want to thank everyone who tuned in. If you thought this program was constructive, once the podcast is up, please share it with other people. Again, do not misunderstand or misconstrue my intentions. My intentions is not to attack an individual black person, but to do introspection, to get you to critically think about what is happening to us, and also to put Dr. King's comment about integrating in a burning house in its proper context, because indeed, as Otis has said and Ross has said, we have become assimilated to the point that we don't even have a moral compass anymore. We want to be the colonizer instead of being the people who introduce justice to the world. With that said, I want to thank all who called in and shared their thoughts. Dave will be back on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Monday for another broadcast of Tando Radio Show. Peace and blessings to all. Stay safe out there.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.